Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. By Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg. Celebrating life's legacy. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by First United Methodist Church in downtown Galesburg. By Yem Auto Group on North Henderson in Galesburg, home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yem. By RP Lumber, best service, best value. And by Bates Collision Center in Galesburg, we take the decision out of collision. Now, the WGIL broadcast team of Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey, and Jake Miller with Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Just a matter of hours before winter ends, we are kicking off the high school football season in the state of Illinois. And thanks for being with us for Silver Streaks Football on WGIL here on March 19th. Galesburg opens the six-game pandemic-shortened season at Geneseo. The sophomore game resulted in a Geneseo victory, 26-6. And boy, are we excited about what could be for this Silver Streaks team this season, with lots of returners from a season that ended 17 months ago. And we are ready to get this game underway with Hunter Clark Holke for Geneseo, kicking it downfield and taken by the Silver Streaks at the 5-yard line. Sprinting up the middle and a tackle up short of the 29-yard line is Alex Egyptiaco, and the Silver Streaks take the field to get the season underway. Well, fellas, we didn't know if we'd be here, and here we are.
Nice little return there. You got the Egyptiaco brothers returning deep. I was watching the Geneseo kicker kick 50 yards with ease, and right on cue, he put one right to the goal line that the boys were able to bring back.
And a little crosswind, too, Jake. What are you feeling down there with the weather conditions?
Yeah, the wind is non-factor.
Okay.
It's a little bit in our face as we go north to south right now, if I have my directions right.
Grant Ayton in the shotgun at quarterback. A short drop looking to the near side, and it's caught by Dre Egyptiaco on a little out route and a little stop at the 40-yard line for the reception. And the Silver Streaks are just short of a first down on the first play from scrimmage this season.
A nice little, just a rudimentary comeback route there. Just kind of testing the waters right now. Geneseo playing a little bit soft, and so we run the little hitch and nice pickup on first down. That'll be key, staying ahead of the chains all night long.
Yeah, well, it's second down, but, you know, it's a good gain right off the bat here. We got a nice little pitch and catch action. So hopefully they're tighter now on us, so this will open us up for some deeper routes if we want to.
Two wide right, two wide left. Ayton moving to the left. Now he'll RPO. Keep it. Avoids one tackle, trying to slip past it. Tackle just short of the first down marker. Looks like he got about back to the line of scrimmage, and it'll be third and short for the Silver Streaks. Third down was a problem for the Silver Streaks in the last season that ended October 26th of 2019. But third and very short here, just third and a yard for the Silver Streaks, and let's see if they can keep the chains moving on the first possession.
A couple personnel changes. You got two tight ends here now with Davina on the right and Aaron Carl on the left in the wishbone.
And the handoff goes to the right side. Tackle ball in the backfield. The ball pops loose. There's a scramble for it. And if Geneseo recovers, like Geneseo, they're going to have it. They're claiming that they've got it, and they come out hopping up and down, and Geneseo forces a turnover on the third play from scrimmage for the Silver Streaks offensively this season and take over in terrific field position at the Galesburg 38.
Yeah, that's a bad deal there. The handoff was fine. It was right in the belly, Kyron Leith, and sometimes the hat just finds the helmet just finds a ball, and that's what looks like what happened there.
Yeah, and coming out here, what we saw at the sophomore game with Geneseo is people who know Geneseo, who's been around this area for a while, they're used to a certain look from Geneseo. But, Jake, what are we looking at here for the Green Leafs right now?
We're looking at four wide receivers, and I wouldn't have believed they had four wide receivers on their roster in years past.
Nathan Beneke at the quarterback with a handoff to the right side, and it goes to Bruce Moore, tries a cutback up the middle, stopped at the 35-yard line for a gain of a short three on first down. But there was a big tribute in the pregame for the legendary Bob Reed, and one can only imagine what he would have thought had he been here tonight and saw that spread formation coming out on the first play.
Saw the wing T stuff they ran here, and they ran it at Augie when I was going there, so it is definitely a change. I'm willing to bet he would be okay as long as they won.
So, Beneke, again, the starting quarterback, a 6'2", 190-pound senior. They'll send Mason Jones, a flanker. The handoff goes to the left side to Jones, and a good stop by the Silver Streaks. Very short gain, if any, on second down, and it'll bring up third and about five, it looks like.
That was Xavier Coleman who came up, made a nice play on the edge and the outside there to prevent the guy from getting outside of him and then turning him in and making a nice tackle.
Silver Streaks challenged on the first Geneseo series after the Galesburg fumble.
Reverse.
Gave the Maple Leafs a play in Silver Streaks position, and the Streaks read it beautifully with a tackle at the 36-yard line for an actual loss of a yard, and the Streaks force a three and out.
Yeah, I didn't know. You know, this is dangerous right here if they were going to punt it or not. Their option is to punt it and pin the Streaks deep. They're in a four-down territory, really. They're on the Streaks side of the field. Riley Hickey there does a great job staying home and turning that to reverse inside. And he got teammates come to his aid.
So in punt formation, and they are going to go a little more directional from the left foot of P.J. Moser, and the Streaks with a fair catch at the 11-yard line. So, hey, defense tested right out of the gate, and they respond very nicely. Good start for the Galesburg defense to get the ball back into the offense's hands.
Yeah, the fumble doesn't hurt them that much. It costs them some field position. I'm sure they'll get that corrected, and hopefully they can put together a little bit of a drive here.
Well, one of the things to look at for both teams is that, and I don't know how many kids that Geneseo would have that are playing basketball, but you talk about trying to get solid reps. You know, the scout teams that go out there, they give you reps. When you show up to the first quarter, are you game ready? And really, we aside from that fumble, you know, the defense stepped up. You know, what type of reps do you get from your scout team to be ready to go?
Grant Ayton under center, this time handoff to the right side. Silver Streaks, good pickup on first down, crossing the 20-yard line. And a pickup. Yeah, they went right back to Kyron after the fumble, and he gets the first down up to the 24.
Jake, would you say that that was, you know it, you ran it as an option there. Was that a read option, or do you think that was a give all the way?
I'm assuming that's going to be called, at least especially this early in the game. I think that was a give all the way. Grant carried his fake out, and there's something there. If he does want to keep it, he did have some room, too.
Ayton again under center. First series was from shotgun. Handoff goes to the right side to Leith again. Tackled, but keeps the feet pumping and moving and makes a little bit out of what appeared to be nothing initially. And, of course, Mike Washabaugh talking in the pregame just how proud he was of the work that this team put in the what turned out to be the extended offseason. And it's plays like that where that shows up.
And that right there was essentially the same thing, running a little veer option off the end. And if he is reading it, that was an incorrect read. Grant needs to keep that football and get around the end.
Ends up as a pickup of about four on first down. Second offensive possession of the season for the Silver Streaks. The handoff up the middle, Alex Egyptiaco crosses the 30 to about the 33 for a pickup of five. It'll be third and short for the Silver Streaks.
Same position we were last series. There we go. We're looking at about third and two on this play. That's what we had last series. When we turn the ball over, I don't expect that again here. A little different personnel switching out here for the Streaks.
We're in a one tight end set. Aaron Carl is in the game, but he's split out wide to the left. Hunter Davina tight on the right-hand side. You know, two successful running plays in a row. I expect to see another one.
It's a eye formation here for the most part.
Yep, straight eye for the Silver Streaks with Egyptiaco dotting the eye. He takes the handoff right up the gut across the 35, gets the first down to the 36-yard line, and the offensive line does its job up front. And Egyptiaco charged right into the mass and moves the chains to the 37. So he actually gains four out of the play, and the Streaks move the chains on third down.
Geneseo dropped to a 60 front. I didn't know if they would audible out of that, but even against that heavy front, the Streaks line, like you said, was able to get a push. It wasn't clean, but chugging his feet, he was able to continue to get the first down.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll take it at this point. And that's our first down of the season.
Dre Egipcciaco lines up wide left. One receiver for the Silver Streaks up top. Ayton under pressure and can't get out of it. Tackled back at the 30-yard line for a loss. Geneseo blasted right through, and it was an easy tackle for P.J. Moser.
Now, Jake, we saw that in the first series. We didn't get an opportunity to discuss it, but if you could let our listeners know what an RPO is. That's, we just ran an RPO right there.
Right, and right there, I think scheme-wise, it just wasn't going to work out with an unblocked player on the end. But Grant ultimately gets to essentially like calling two plays in the huddle, and he can use the running option or the passing option depending on what he sees in front of him.
Loss of 7. Second and 17 back at the Galesburg 30. The handoff goes to the right side. And the carry to about the 35 where the play comes to an end. Streaks tried to run it out to the right. And Leith is able to get 5 back. It'll be 3rd and long, 3rd and 12.
Yeah, being behind the chains like this, 3rd and 12, obviously puts the play call at a premium here. Looks like both Carl Boys in the game now. Hunter Davina out there as well. You know, you've got things you can do. You can run screens here. Ultimately, you just want to make sure that you maintain possession of the football on this play.
Talk about the Streaks front five. Let's see what they do here on 3rd and 12. Passing down as we wind under 5 minutes to go. The swing to the outside. Dre has to come back for it and drops it at the 35-yard line. So even if he makes the catch, it's behind the sticks, and he would have had to done a lot of fancy footwork to make something out of that. Instead, it falls incomplete, and the Streaks are forced to punt.
Jake, would you, you know, having a better look there in the field with Alex coming out of the backfield, did you look like we were setting up for a hook and ladder there?
That's what I was just getting ready to say. It looked like something different was around there. I'm not exactly sure who was. You said Alex was coming out of the backfield?
Yes.
Yeah, there definitely looked like something could be in the works there, and that might have been what Dre, his issue dropping that football, was looking ahead to see what he could do with the football afterwards.
Hunter Davina is the Streaks punter this season. A little bit high on the snap, and then a short, wobbly kick. Geneseo will let it bounce, and it hits at the 41 and then rolls backward to the Maple Leafs' 39-yard line, where Geneseo takes over. 4:46 to go in a scoreless first quarter so far.
Yeah, you know, defenses early usually have a little bit better, better go at the beginning of the year, right? There's a little less complication to the defense, and usually our defenses are ahead of offenses, and that's what we're seeing so far. Is this the under five COVID timeout that is going on right now?
I heard him in a booth next to us talking about the possibility of a COVID timeout, but that's not.
I know they did it in basketball.
Right, the under 5 minute one.
Right.
I think that's what we got going on.
Would appear that way. So our thanks to Galesburg Nissan for providing our transportation to Geneseo tonight. And of course, we're just as thankful as we have ever been. We're always, of course, thankful to our sponsors here for Silver Streaks football and boys and girls basketball on WGIL, but especially this year that the sponsors just rallied right away when we found the news back in February that we were going to have any high school football and basketball seasons. And Galesburg Nissan was right on board once again this season, providing our transportation. And we are certainly very thankful to them. A 2019, Jake, you've got the key fob. A 2019 Nissan Maxima, correct?
Yes, it was a Nissan Maxima 2019. It had about 15,000 miles on it.
Good, you read my mind. That was my next question if you looked at the odometer.
Yeah, about 15,000 miles on it. It rode smooth. It has
it did.
Dual panoramic sunroof. It was a nice ride.
Check it out at Galesburg Nissan, home of the lifetime warranty. Low snap out of the shotgun. Beneke has to pick it up, and rolling to his left, the Streaks swarm around him at the 40-yard line. He might have crossed the 40 for a gain of an additional yard after that, but fortunate that they were able to make anything out of that on that low snap, scooping it up off the ground. So he does get back to the 40 for a gain of 2.
Yeah, they had a pass play set up there at the low snap. You know, he bobbled it and just took off running with it and was able to get a couple yards out of the deal.
Except the Streaks' defensive front, and Mike Washabaugh has a base of players who he'll rotate in. Streaks crowd the line. The play goes to the right side. The ball gets free, and the Silver Streaks celebrating as if they've got it, and they do. It's Davina who picks it up at the 45-yard line, but
they're
maybe a dead ball. The officials are not giving the ball to the Silver Streaks. So Geneseo gets a gain out of it to the 45-yard line, and they hang on to it for a third and four upcoming.
A lot of disagreement on this sideline on that call.
And up in the coach's booth to our right. Three wideouts to the right on third and four. Another low snap. Beneke stutter steps, throws it out. Caught on the right side by Mason Jones, who tries to work his way left, and he stopped short of the first down marker by about a yard.
We had a nice pursuit there inside out on that play to come in. He had a lot of open space, and the defender was able to turn him inside. We had a nice pursuit from the linebackers to limit that to, we just had a penalty.
Is there a flag?
I didn't see it, but they just motioned
something. I did not see a flag,
something.
But they're walking. They're adding on yardage at the end of the play.
Back to the play, so it must have been a roughing the passer or something.
15 yards. So the Streaks got the defensive stop, stopped him a yard short of the first down marker, and the first penalty of the season against the Silver Streaks takes it down to the Galesburg 37-yard line. So now the defense pinned back a little bit again and will need to respond. So the first penalty for the Silver Streaks is a big one. It gives Geneseo a first down, and now the Streaks jump off sides on the right side of that defensive line, and they'll get another five here. Now, Jake, you mentioned a little bit ago, defense is often ahead of offenses at this point of the season. And sometimes in first games, you get some penalties of this nature, too.
Yeah, and we get it. You know, the aggressive penalties is what's gotten us so far. You know, these are things that we can't put back in check.
So first and five for the Maple Leafs. Handoff right up the middle and a little bit of room to run for Bruce Moore as he gets into the streak secondary, finally brought down at the 25-yard line. As he picks up seven more.
One of the things, too, I think that we're seeing that we're really having a hard time adjusting to, Jake, is they're putting a lot of motion in. They're putting guys on different sides of the ball and moving two or three guys or shifting guys on and off the ball and across the formation.
Yep. So first down for the Maple Leafs from the Streaks 25. Handoff goes to the left side, slips one tackle, and then Moore stopped there and pushed backwards. So he got a little bit of room to run initially after the missed tackle in the backfield, and he'll end up picking up three on the play.
Another low snap, too. That seems to be an issue right now between the center and the quarterback here at Geneseo. And Streaks just haven't yet been able to capitalize on that. They haven't been bad enough. Quarterback's able to corral those so far.
Second and a long seven. Handoff to Moore to the left side. Tries to cut back up the middle. Riley Hickey gets the hands on him initially. Damian Thomas of the Silver Streaks helps finish him off, but picks up about six more. It'll be third and two.
Yeah, we're definitely in two-down territory here. As Tennessee. Well, I mean, with their field goal kicker, though, they do seem to have one that is.
Yeah.
They are well within range.
It's a nice weapon to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, Jake, when he was doing that, he was also there was no pressure. He was just kicking off of a tee.
Third and two, Geneseo, 90 seconds to go here in this opening quarter. Scoreless game thus far. Maple Leafs in the Streaks red zone now as Beneke comes up under center to take this snap on third and two. Hand off to
ball.
Moore, and the ball pops free in the backfield. Moore comes
fight
back
forward.
Diving on it, back at the 25-yard line in a scramble, and Moore got there first. That was an impressive stop by Moore after the ball got stripped out of his hands. I don't know if Aaron Carl is the one who got in there and knocked it loose, and then Moore just stopped on a dime and dove back and was able to recover it to keep the possession alive for the Maple Leafs.
I believe that was Jordan Payne on a lineman stunt up there that got in there and got that ball. And he got there at the same time as the handoff got there, so the running back is never expecting that. Whatever stunt they were running out there, Jordan Payne got in there. And you're right, that was impressive to recover the fumble as he did.
A timeout here on the field.
41 seconds to go here in the late stages of the first quarter of a scoreless game. And it'll, after the loss of seven, it's back to the 25 for a fourth and 10, and Geneseo uses its first timeout.
You know, one of that, talking about that last play there, we had the fumble. Jordan Payne coming through almost made the hit and the recovery, which is that's always a very athletic thing to do. It's hard to, you don't see that very often. The ball hits and pops out and it squirts away, and, you know, you have 21 other guys out there to try to go for it, but almost made it an outstanding play there, get the hit and the recovery.
as it is now to turn this thing into a 4th and 10. It was 3rd and 2. Now it's 4th and 10. If they kick the field goal, it's now a 42-yarder, which I don't care. It's not a gimme for any high school field goal kicker.
Correct.
So it has completely changed the feel of this, and it looks like they're going to come out
with
their
offense.
Yeah, they've got their. So the Streaks have a real opportunity to turn this around.
All right, 41 seconds to go here at the end of the first quarter. And they're lining up to go for it on 4th and 10. Let's see if they want to try to draw the Streaks off, gain an additional 5 yards. Here comes the pressure. He throws it across the middle. It's caught by the Maple Leafs inside the 10, down to the 5 for a first down. Just a little slant play left to right, and the completion made, and the Maple Leafs move the chains on the completion to P.J. Moser.
Quarterback put it right in the seam there in that cover three, and Kenan Klein was inches away. He jumped up and tried to deflect the ball with his hands and just was underneath it.
Oh, we had pressure coming through as well. He did not have a clear pass to throw that ball. Obviously he did, but we had streaks in his face.
A gain of 15 down to the 10. To the left side, and the Streaks pick it off. And with room to run at the 30, the Streaks have a long way to go. Some pressure from Moore in the backfield, and now he catches up, and the ball pops free after Coleman's interception. And the Streaks will keep it as he's down at the Geneseo 30-yard line. Coleman picked it off and returned it. A good, I don't know where you think he got it, at the 10?
Yeah,
roughly, yeah.
So 60-yard interception return, and the Streaks flip the field and the momentum with 7 seconds to go in the first quarter.
I'd like to see him go up top right here, Sean. What do you think?
Next door we have the coaches that are saying run the offense.
Yeah?
So we'll see what happens. I'm with you. You get a big play like that, go for it.
That's why they're doing it, and I'm down here. So I'm completely fine with them doing that too.
And, you know, maybe that's not what it means, but the implication I got was stick to what we plan to do. They're in the bone here, double tight.
Ayton with a handoff, first man right up the middle, and a good push. A little bit of a surge with Cannon Klein on the carry, and that'll be the end of the first quarter as the Silver Streaks gain 4 on the final play of quarter number 1. No score at Geneseo on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Earth date present day. Dave's Auto Body repairs an alien shuttlecraft.
Captain Dave, we collided with a Nimzu orbital chariot. Our scanners show your facility surpasses a replicator in vehicular repair.
Dave's crew springs into action, restoring the craft to intergalactic standards. Commander, we repaired your warp drive and bumpers. There's a lifetime warranty.
Oh, Shimza, Captain Dave.
Dave's Auto Body.
How long is that in light years?
You better call Dave.
Is that candy?
Yes, take some.
Oh, thank the Schwablock.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
One quarter gone at Geneseo. Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey, Jake Miller with you. Will Stevenson, our broadcast engineer. Xavier Coleman interception on first and goal for Geneseo. Returns it to the Maple Leaf 30-yard line. The Streaks pick up 3 at the end of the first quarter and have 2nd and 7 from the Maple Leaf 27-yard line as we begin quarter number 2. Now talking about flipping the field. Silver Streaks now moving left to right. South to north as Jake alluded to earlier, and now whistles as Ayton comes up to the line ready to get the second quarter underway.
No. Yeah, there's no time on the clock.
That's an issue.
Yeah, can't run a second quarter if it's all zeros.
Might want to put a couple more minutes on there too, showing 10 minutes right now.
Streak still showing double tight here with Aaron Carl on the left, and we've got Hunter Davina on the formation on the right side.
Who do we have in the backfield there? Cannon Klein.
Cannon running the fullback with
Alex.
Alex and looks like Kyron Leaf.
Does that say 34?
You got 32 and 34. So
that's Damian Thomas.
Damian Thomas.
Sorry, yeah.
Streaks offensive line. Germany Goods, Jersey Siren, Reed Hawkins at center. Jeremiah Morris and Jordan Payne as the play goes to the right. Inside the 25 to about the 23 on the carry by Klein. And it'll be third and close, about a yard.
Would it change here, Jake? You know, you show up to Geneseo, and we're the ones running double tight bone.
Yeah.
And they're running spread.
Absolutely. Grant doing a really nice job of hiding the football too on these. The idea of the bone is to hide the football. You don't know who's carrying it. Running backs are going all different directions. Grant doing a nice job.
Third and a long one for the Silver Streaks. Out of the eye, right up the middle, and room to run through, down into the 10 before the tackle is made on the carry by Alex Egyptiaco. And a big hole up the middle. It'll be first and goal for the Silver Streaks at about the 6.
Jake, I can't help but smile because I coach both of these groups here, these seniors and juniors, as 8th graders. And we ran in, double tight. We ran bone. We ran the eye formation. And, you know, back then I looked at it. I'm like, yeah, we're just running. It's like a junior high offense. We're just running lead, and we're running some ISO and stuff like that. And that's what we're doing here.
Back to Alex on the handoff. Stutter stepped and he got hit in the backfield and dropped short of the 5. He might have gotten back to the original line of scrimmage. Second and goal from the 6.
Streaks had a little problem containing a blitz there from Jonathan Maxwell, the inside linebacker, number 32 from Geneseo. Been very active as I've been watching him. He's giving the Streaks a little bit of fits right now. The linemen need to keep their eyes up and make sure because blitzes are coming down here in the goal line.
You're just underway. If you're just joining us, minute and a half into the second quarter, Streaks with the second and goal from the 6. The sweep to the right side and the tackle made inside the 5 and in bounds. As it kind of rode Grant down from the backside.
Yeah, that was a called keep. So, you know, at the beginning of the game, they were running basically like a veer option where they were giving it. Grant didn't do much reading of that one. He was going to keep that the whole way, and he's got a short field on this side. Geneseo did a great job stringing it out. So he got third and a long four.
A lot of players. In fact, we were talking about this before we went on the air. Kind of hard to see. Ayton on the keeper to the right side. Tripped up from the backside, but he dives and gets to the goal line. And the Streaks score 2:07 into the second quarter. The first touchdown of the season.
Called quarterback draw. Grant was in the shotgun after being in the bone this entire drive. And it was a design run the entire way. And he had to fight for that last yard, but he got it done. Streaks muddle here, as we've seen them do the last few years. We've got a formational, most of the offensive linemen to the left side of the field. We've got one wide right, Cohen Derry by himself to the right. Grant Ayton back there, and now they call him in for a more traditional PAT. John Wren kicking.
6-0 Silver Streaks on the 4-yard touchdown run by junior quarterback Grant Ayton, who's in on the hold now. The snap from Reed Hawkins. The hold is down.
Grant
juggled it a little bit, but he got it squared up just enough, and Wren got it up and over the crossbar, and it's 7-0 Silver Streaks, 9:53 to go, first half on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. By Lox Roofing and Siding Incorporated. Tackle all your home projects with one call to Lox Roofing and Siding. And by Go Van Gogh's, the T-shirt factory at 237 East Tompkins Street in downtown Galesburg.
During the radio auction, bid number 763, Hustler
plan's working out, Brad.
Zero-turn mower from Hank's Power Equipment.
The bidding begins tomorrow morning at 7 on WGIL.
A six-play scoring drive. 2:14 off the clock. And it's Xavier Coleman's interception at the Galesburg 10-yard line, returned to the Geneseo 30, that set up the first scoring drive of the season. A 4-yard touchdown run by Grant Ayton, the extra point by John Wren, and the Streaks lead Geneseo 7-0 as the kick by Wren is a little bit short. Live ball at the 20-yard line, picked up, fumbled, and then somehow recovered by Geneseo, and a swarm on the play at the very end of it as he scooped it back up off the turf just in time. So no return, and lucky to even have the ball, and the Maple Leafs will start off at about, well, just short of their 20.
Yeah, he played that like it was a punt at first. Yeah. You know, he kind of looked around and thought, well, did it bounce and squirted away from me, and then I'm guessing the sideline was yelling at him, so he went over, and even when he picked it up, there was no sense of urgency, but we will take it.
Whenever you can keep a high school football team behind the 20 on a kickoff, like the statistics of them going 80 yards without something bad happening is very low. So the Streaks are in good shape here.
Actually start from the 18, the quick out to the left side, and the Streaks read it beautifully.
the completion made behind the line of scrimmage, and then the tackle and the immediate stop, the completion made to Mason Jones, but they lose a couple on first down.
Riley Hickey was not having any part of that. He read that the entire way. Maybe his dad coaching him up back home. I don't know.
Maybe. There could be some truth to that. But we had three guys out here. They had trips with two guys covering. That was concerning, but it worked out well for us.
Second down, though. Now a quarterback keeper up the middle, and the streaks read it beautifully and make the stop short of the 15-yard line for a very short gain, if any. And the streaks have Geneseo pinned deep, third and long at the Maple Leaf 15-yard line.
Who was on a tackle, though, Jake?
That was Aaron Carl and Cannon Klein with Connor Davina cleaning things up. The streaks have all the momentum here on a big third down play to keep it.
And now a whistle.
Wash doesn't like what he saw there, so this was us calling timeout.
Well, there wasn't much yelling in the booth here for something, but he must have saw something he didn't like on the field.
Yep.
It was personnel or formation. They hadn't gotten fully set up in the formation yet.
You know, and why not, right? 8:42 to go with a 7-point lead. Go ahead and take a timeout. Don't take any chances here. Protect that lead as much as possible.
Something going on here. Hunter Davina had to run off. He's going to the sideline. I think he's just getting a drink, though. He'll be back in.
Yep, he's good.
Usually there are people that would carry water out to them, and then our guys are running back to the bench.
Well, we can't. They have their own water bottles.
Very true.
So wherever they put their water bottle, they're all close here at the 50-yard line, which makes sense because you don't want to be at the 30 at one end and run to the 30 at the other end. So he's just coming to water down.
On something else I was going to bring up when the streaks were down inside the 10-yard line was the ability for the players to spread out farther going downfield. So they were blocking our view from up here. We couldn't see where that play was ending down there because they're standing. The players are stretched out on the sideline deeper on the field than we're used to them seeing. Third and 13, Maple Leafs. Short drop, under pressure. Beneke wrapped up, thrown down. The ball stays in his mitts, but the Silver Streaks are going to have really good field position with Geneseo punting from inside the five.
And I think the refs are giving him a generous spot here, putting it back to the three. But still, that's going to be a short snap for the punter. Let's see if the Streaks dial up anything or they set up a return.
Oh, yeah, you know, you set up a return here because you don't want to go in and give him a first down, and you're going to get good field position out of it.
Yep.
Loss of 12 on the play. The punt coming from the back of the end zone for Tannen Rink. And it's a high punt. Won't be real deep. And it bounces and then takes a big Geneseo roll. Yep. Bounces short of the 25 and squirts across the 30, close to the 35. But the Silver Streaks are still going to have great field position with a whole lot of momentum. And again, that interception, can't say enough what the impact that that interception by Xavier Coleman has had on the game at this stage, with the Streaks taking over in Geneseo territory with under 8 minutes to go in the first half, leading 7-0.
You know, the old saying, I mean, Jake's talking about defense this whole half, but when you're able to make your defense be your offense, you know, and we've gotten good field position, our defense has been able to get the interception. We got a sack there, we got a tackle for a loss, and now here we are. With first and 10 on the Geneseo's 34-yard line. Heading in.
Short drop. Play. Grant looking to the near side. Dumps it off. Juggled and then hanging on to it. And the catch made by Aaron Carl, who rumbles across the 30 and knocked out of bounds. For a short gain on first down, but a gain nonetheless. And the clock stops at 7:43 to go in the first half.
That little juggle was enough just to have him take an extra step before he turned upfield. If he would have gotten that cleanly, I think he could have been in position to get a first down here.
It looked like Grant was looking downfield, too, initially. Didn't like what he saw and decided to drop it off there to Aaron Carl.
Yeah, he
still
checked
picked
down.
Up seven.
Yep.
Second and three. Silver Streaks trying to build on a one-touchdown lead here. Aiton in the short gun with Alex Egyptiaco lined up to his right. The handoff goes to Alex. Trying to sweep to the outside.
Nice block.
Gets off one block, gets across the 20-yard line, and the Streaks, with a good gain, will move the chains inside the Geneseo red zone.
Outstanding block in the perimeter there by Cohen Derry. Is able to, of course, it was a nice move by Alex to kick it back outside. But Cohen Derry staying on his block, a good 6-7 yards downfield, was able to allow Alex to jump outside and get a few more yards.
Gain of 13 for Alex Egyptiaco. His fifth carry of the game, up to 37 yards, and the Streaks looking to build on a one-touchdown lead here. A little over 7 minutes to go here in the second quarter. First down from the Maple Leaf 14-yard line. Ayton rolling right, dumps it off, complete to Alex. To the 10-yard line, tripped up and taken down inside the 10. On a little play run left to right, and he's down to about the 8 for a gain of another 6.
That little sprint out puts the end man on the line of scrimmage for Geneseo in a bind. He's either got to tackle Grant or he's got to cover the back out of the backfield. And they are just kind of playing games with him right now. That play earlier was giving Galesburg some issues, but they've kind of figured that timing out, able to get a nice first down, 6 yard, 7 yard gain.
First completion of the night to Alex Egyptiaco, second and 4 Streaks. They go back to Alex on the ground, this time straight up the middle.
Very close.
Kind of a lumbering run, gets down to
spot looks short,
the 5.
Jake. Just short, yeah. I got him just short. Half a football.
So they're going to spot it, yeah, where? At the 4. Tail of the football sitting just inside the 5. So that's a first down, right? First and goal?
No.
Just
goal.
Short. And off to the right. And the Streaks are going to take it in all the way for the second touchdown of the night. Cannon Klein finishes off the final 5 yards, and the Silver Streaks make it 13-0 halfway through quarter number 2.
You know, after a slow start in the first few possessions, the Streaks really kind of getting it figured it out, and it's with the ground game. I mean, we're mixing a few short passes in there, but right now running the football, and up front the Streaks are kind of establishing their dominance on the offensive line.
And, Jake, differently from our last drive, we were spread there the whole time. Our last
Correct.
Drive, we were double tight, wishbone, and we moved the ball. This time we spread things out, we still move the ball. So either way you look at it, I think right now we're winning the game at the line of scrimmage.
5 yard touchdown run. The kick by John Wren is good, and it's 14-0 Silver Streaks. 6:03 to go in the first half. We'll take a timeout. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Homeownership is one big to-do list, unless you farm out the remodeling to the pros. Courtright Construction of Oneida. These guys know how to give a room a facelift, and if you're desperate for more space, consider a room addition. Courtright Construction, the right choice for your next project.
Galesburg High School Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Tom Irons at Accounting Systems on South Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg, and by Templeton Roofing. Call Templeton Roofing when your roof matters. Learn more at templetonroofing.com. During the Ready Watch and Better Number 749, a women's concealed carry class from Hot Brass Firearms Training, LLC.
The bidding begins tomorrow morning at 7 on WGIL.
14-0 Galesburg. When these two teams met a year and a half ago, Geneseo won it 21-7. Coach Mike Washabaugh said it was really just two plays in that game. Felt the Silver Streaks really outplayed the Maple Leafs as the kickoff is taken inside the 10 and the return to the far side of the field across the 25 and then run out of bounds there. But Coach Mike Washabaugh said it was really just two plays in that game, and the hook and ladder that led to a Geneseo touchdown right before halftime and gave them the lead, he felt was kind of the momentum turner that the Streaks never really completely recovered from. Well, here tonight, it's been a interception by the Maple Leafs, a return by Xavier Coleman that has turned this game around, and the Streaks lead 14-0, 5:58 to go first half, and the Maple Leafs with the ball at their own 28-yard line.
Well, defensively, you got to be bend but don't break, and that's what we saw last year was a couple of break situations that cost us the game. So far, we've had solid defense tonight.
Hand off up the middle as Moore tried to cross from right back to the left, and the Streaks were there waiting for him to wrap him up, but he still moves his momentum, takes him up close to the 30-yard line. It'll be a short gain.
Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that hook and ladder last year was the killer, and this interception this year may prove to be exactly the equivalent of that play last year. And that, I mean, they were going in to score. We turned it around and have turned it into two scores afterwards.
Beneke out of the gun, low snap, looking right, fires it across the middle, and complete into the hands of Cade Arellano, who takes a first down into Galesburg territory at the 45-yard line.
That is a split second right there. Yep. for Grant Ayton between getting interception and a guy making the reception and getting a first down. I mean, he was that close to picking it off. He made a play on the ball instead of the receiver, and as a result of that, they got the reception and the yardage. You know, if he would have played the receiver, they wouldn't have gotten as many yards. But he was going for the interception, which is what you need to do. This is you don't want to play passive.
26-yard gain into Galesburg territory at the 45-yard line.
Timeout.
And now whistles as we've got a timeout with 5:04 to go in the first half. And was that Geneseo's timeout?
Yes.
The quarterback turned around and called it. That play that he ran is a cover three beater. So, I mean, if they can continue to hit that all night, then we'll have problems. But it's such a timing play. And like you said, Grant was a split second away from taking that ball away.
Yeah, it was like it was on his fingertips.
Ariano's a big target, too, at 6'4". In fact, they've got a couple of them. Nathan Van de Woesten, who played in that game as a tight end against the Silver Streaks last season, also 6'4". And but the Silver Streaks have some pretty decent size of their own, and we're excited to see that play out offensively as the year goes along. Cohen Derry, Aaron Carl, Hunter Davina, all big targets for Grant Ayton. But right now it's on the defense's shoulders. Streaks leading 14-0, 5:04 to go first half. First down, Geneseo at the Silver Streak 45-yard line. Maple Leafs have used two of their three timeouts. And Beneke lines up in the gun.
Something to keep an eye on. It looks like Aaron Carl is out of the game. Hopefully just getting a break. Deshaun Parks.
On the sweep from right to left, the handoff goes to Mason Jones, who breaks free up the near sideline. And it's Grant Ayton who chases him down, knocks him out at the 20-yard line for a pickup of 25. Otherwise, he dances the sideline and takes it all the way.
You know, that play will be successful when you get a hold on the perimeter. I saw Cameron Aguirre get held right there, couldn't get the contain that he needed. And as a result of that, they busted a play there.
Biggest running play of the game for the Maple Leafs, 25 yards down to the Silver Streaks' 20-yard line. Jones with 5 carries, 37 yards, under 5 minutes to go. Another low snap. Beneke picks it up, throws it to the near side. It's juggled, and the Streaks collapse on top of him. Coleman there, along with
Damian Thomas.
I think it was Jayshon Parks who got in there as well. So the loss back to the 27. So they lose 7 on the play.
Yep. And I wonder, too, if that throw being bobbled the way it was, if it had been not fielded cleanly, if it was going to be a forward pass or not. Because he stepped back for the screen.
Second and 17. Man in motion is Jones. He goes left to right this time. Streaks with penetration in the back. And the tackle is made for another loss as Cameron Aguirre gets into the backcourt and makes the tackle for loss. It'll be back at the 34. Another loss of 7.
Same play that they ran, different direction. But, again, Aguirre was there and able to come off that block. He was on the other side of the field, so I don't know if there was a hold. But, obviously, he was able to get separation and make a play. That would have happened earlier had he not been held. Nice play.
You just keep working that in, aren't you?
Yep.
Third and 14 for the Maple Leafs now. Two big losses from scrimmage. Now Beneke under pressure steps up in the backfield. Flag is down. Beneke spins out of one tackle and then bumped inside the 30-yard line forward to the right, and where he's finally brought down at about the 26-yard line.
But he is getting up gingerly.
Well, and with the flag down in the backfield all the way back at the 41-yard line, got to believe this one's coming back anyway.
Yeah, Streaks coaches are indicating that direction.
It looks like a hold. The other option is you could take the result of the play and have it be fourth down and
They look like they're going to take the penalty.
Yeah, I'd take the penalty.
Yeah, take it back.
Mean, given what we saw from the kicker, I would rather take the loss.
So it would be third and 40, kind of what we're looking at, roughly. Depends on how they step it off.
Third and a bunch.
Third and a lot.
It was third and 14. This is the first penalty of the game against the Maple Leafs. And they are going to spot it all the way back at the 40-yard line.
The hold must have also been in the backfield for them to count it back that far.
That's where the flag was. That's moved up from where the flag was. It's up to the 39.
So it ends up as just a 5-yard loss. Deep back enough to the Galesburg 39-yard line. Out of the gun, Beneke rolling left. Now steps up in the pocket, off balance, throws it, and underthrown just a little bit. Or was the catch made?
No.
Okay. All right. I thought it was incomplete. Jones kind of rolled down over there. Again, players in kind of blocking our view here. I didn't think he caught it, so it'll be fourth down. Fourth and 34.
I think we have a flag here.
Oh, you're right. Back in the backfield. Back toward the Galesburg 45-yard line.
This is on us on a late hit. This could be a first down.
Intention.
Automatic.
Oh, yep. Yep, late hit on the kick on the quarterback, roughing the passer.
Now, that is not automatic, I don't believe.
No, it's just the yardage, right?
Right, just the yardage.
But not the penalty that the Silver Streaks wanted after getting the defensive stop.
No, the ball was away when Hunter hit him.
So the 15-yard penalty, third of against the Silver
down.
Streaks.
They have moved the sticks anyway.
It should be a first down. It's an, it's a late hit.
All right, first down then from the 24. Hand off to the right side, skipping through, weaving through some tackles, and then the stop made on Bruce Moore as he crosses the 35 to about the 33. I'm sorry, not the 33, the 23. So it ends up as a gain of only a yard. Geneseo's only two third down conversions tonight
are by penalty.
Yeah.
Second down, Geneseo, second and nine from the Silver Streaks 23. Beneke checking the play call on his wrist. Matching it up, handoff up the middle. Moore again, wrapped up by Cannon Klein at the 20. Maybe forward to the 19 for a pickup of four more. It'll be third and five.
Aaron Carl had the first contact on that, and the two inside backers, Damian Thomas and Cannon Klein, finished it up.
Streaks have contained more to this point, seven carries, 15 yards. Third and five here from the Streaks 20, 2:10 to go in the first half. Streaks leading 14-0. Out of the gun, the play fake, the pass across the middle, complete, and the dive for the end zone. And
touchdown.
It is a touchdown. Yeah. There's the call made. P.J. Moser on the reception on another quick-firing pass from the quarterback, Nathan Beneke, a 19-yard reception, and Geneseo's on the board.
So that's the same play that was the big play for them earlier. It's just this quick tight end dump or pop, whatever you want to call it, and Grant is going to have to recognize that sooner and get to that and either make a play on the football or make contact with the receiver.
And the formation was different this time. The first time it hit the outside receiver, this time it was the inside receiver.
The extra point kick is good. Geneseo cuts the Silver Streaks lead in half, 14-7, 2:01 to play here in the first half. Well, we talk about what a momentum turner that the interception was for the Silver Streaks. Well, now Galesburg defensively with that roughing the passer penalty keeps the ball in Geneseo's hands, and they take advantage of it, finishing off the 10-play scoring drive.
Yeah, the roughing the passer was a big one for us.
Yep.
Because we were looking at that play, it was, even though they didn't, it was third and 30, roughly. I think the pass was incomplete, wasn't it?
Correct.
It was. So 3 minutes, 57 seconds off the clock, 10 plays, 72 yards. So Geneseo puts together a drive when they really needed it. But the Silver Streaks have just over 2 minutes of clock time and two timeouts after the kickoff here to see what they can do and try to get some of that momentum back heading into halftime. Holke tees the ball up at the 40. Flag still across from us on the home side of the field. Pretty active in the wind. Not windy necessarily, but certainly breezy. Palpable, I'm sure, Jake, on the sideline, yes.
It's not terrible. You know, with the direction that it's coming from, I really don't feel too much at field level. I haven't seen it affect any kind of pass. And if you look at the American flag on the other end, it's not moving at all.
The Gypsyako brothers are deep. And a taken on a bounce, dropped. Now Alex picks it up, trying to cut back across the middle of the field, but Geneseo's able to swarm around him at about the 23-yard line. So that little short hop that he got on the kickoff really prevented him from getting any kind of momentum going. But took care of business number one just to corral the ball and still picked up a little bit after he, after he did so, and the Streaks will have it at the 24.
Yeah, he turned that. He did the exact opposite of what we teach our shortstops to do. He turned that ball into a short hop, and that's tough to do. You either want to catch the big hop or catch it in the air. Let's see if the Streaks can get something going here with a minute 54.
From their own 24-yard line, out of the gun, Ayton, the handoff, up the middle, and then the green machine, the green jersey swarm at the 25-yard line for a very short gain. And it'll be second and long.
You want to be careful with what you do. You want to hurry up here, but you know you don't want to get caught in a situation where Geneseo calls timeouts.
They have one remaining.
Right, and you have to punt it away, and it looks like we're going to take our time, be happy, very deliberate,
right,
and see what we get here on the second down play.
It's Cohen Derry who splits out wide to the right for the Silver Streaks. One receiver on the far side of the field. Ayton rolling that direction. There's a flag down.
Two
now
flags.
He sidesteps one defender and then tackled at the 25 where the play comes to an end. And let's see what the flags are. Very likely against Galesburg. Referee motioning Galesburg's direction on the sideline. Now turns to the press box to make the official call. He's not in any hurry to make these calls here tonight. There's the hold, which is what we suspected. Minute 9 to go in the first half. With virtually no gain for the Silver Streaks, this is a decision Geneseo has to make. They are going to take the penalty. With the flag down behind the line of scrimmage, they're going to walk it all the way back to the 10. Yeah, just short of the 10-yard line. So it ends up as a 15-yard holding penalty.
Well, it was in the backfield.
Right.
Of course, that's going to be a spot foul, so it's 10 yards from the spot of the foul, which I can't figure out the hold that Geneseo had. That was on the 41, and they got the ball on the 39.
Right, but the ball was at the 25, so it, for all intents and purposes,
correct,
it ends up as a 15-yarder.
Nice
to the left side, it's Ayton on the keeper, and then grabbed by the jersey from the backside. They're actually going to say he was out of bounds at the 20. So he gets 10 of it back.
Yeah, I would have preferred he didn't get to the sideline.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's going to hurt us a little bit because we're still 3rd and 12. We're going to run the ball here. Both Geneseo having one timeout. We're definitely going to have
left
to kick this football away.
Unless we get a first down here.
Correct.
Stops the clock with 58 seconds to go. 3rd and 14 for the Silver Streaks. Streaks could sure use something special here, even if it's just a simple play. And now we got a timeout.
Play clock is down to one.
Yep. So the Streaks to call the timeout to avoid a 5-yard penalty. Leading 14-7 with 58 seconds to go. And players coming over to the huddle with their arms out is indicating the clear miscommunication of some sort. Either they didn't understand what they were supposed to do, got messed up on signals. So Mike Washabaugh uses one of his remaining two timeouts to set this play up. What do you do here, fellas, on third and long? Deep in your own territory. Well, not deep in your own territory, but deep enough at the 20, trying to protect that one touchdown lead.
Here, if I throw the ball, it's going to be a screen, something very, very high percentage, but I'm going to run the ball. I can run a draw. I can do some things with Grant, but I'm not going to do too much with a one-score lead. I want to run as much time and force them to at least use their last timeout.
Mm-hmm. And something over the middle, if you can. You know, it's going to be keep the ball in play. Like you said, forcing the call timeout.
Silver Streaks with three wide. Single setback.
There's a draw.
Is Alex trying to bounce to the outside. Now cuts up toward the middle. Still on his feet. Stopped short of the 25-yard line, then pushed backwards. So Alex strung that out a little bit. Ran 10 seconds off the clock, and Geneseo does use its final timeout on a gain of 4, and it'll be 4th and 11 for the Silver Streaks at the 24.
Now you're Geneseo, and you're going to dial up some sort of block here, so the Streaks need to be ready for that. I'm sure that's what they're talking about here in the huddle, but it definitely a block is going to come from one side or the other, usually the wide side of the field.
Modest statistics in this game. Not a lot of big numbers for either side, but the most important number right now on the scoreboard favoring the Silver Streaks, 14-7 with 48 seconds to play. And Galesburg will have the ball, nose of the football, sitting just short of the 25-yard line.
And, you know, Brady, talk about the statistics. Nothing really big here. I mean, we had the big interception, but neither team's really out here gallivanting around with the ability to put up a big play. You know, both defenses have been pretty solid, and that's why, you know, looking at when we got the ball here, it'd be difficult for us to go 70-plus yards to score in that time that we had, because that's how this game has been. It's been a grind. There's been no big plays that have been happening.
Sophomores lost tonight, 26-6. Varsity leading here by a touchdown. And Davina will get this one away on the punt, and a better one than his previous one. Takes a Galesburg bounce, hits at the 42-yard line of Geneseo. Streaks let it roll down to the 31-yard line, where they down it with 35 seconds to go. So that takes another 13 seconds off the clock, and the Maple Leafs, with no timeouts remaining, have 69 yards to either just take a conservative play call. Can't believe they're going to get too fancy with it here, but they caught the Streaks napping on a hook and ladder right before halftime last year. So you can never be 100% sure of what the opposition's going to try to do.
Jake, I don't know if you saw it there, but they didn't come out with a punt block at all. They sat up in a defense like they were thinking maybe a fake or something. There was no pressure. Hunter was able to get off a nice punt, and we flipped the field really well.
So let's see how aggressive Larry Johnson, the head coach of the Maple Leafs, wants to get here. Streaks trying to get into possession defensively. They do so. Beneke now under pressure in the backfield, trying to slip some tackles, throws it to the sideline, looks complete, just short of the 40-yard line, and falling out of bounds on the far sideline. Mason Jones corralled it. That stops the clock with 29 seconds to go. Or was it incomplete?
No, they called it incomplete. I think he caught it, but his knee was down. I think he might have been right on the sideline.
I thought I saw the official on the far side make the catch signal, but that's all right. Second and 10, 29 seconds to go. Back at the 31. Two wideouts to the near side. It's Beneke on the keeper up the middle. Sidesteps now, tries, spins back to the inside where the Streaks were waiting for him and stop him at the 35. And no timeouts remaining for Geneseo, so I imagine they're not going to be in any hurry to run one more play. They'll just let the clock wind down. Down to 9 seconds to go, and not showing any indication of trying to scramble up to the line of scrimmage. So we're at halftime. 14-7, the Silver Streaks lead the Maple Leafs on the road in the season opener of the 2020-2021 season. At halftime, actually, Sean, I haven't even given you a chance to talk about this.
Yeah,
what we got coming up?
Coming up at halftime, we've just interviewed, typically with our What's Good at GHS, we would have our talk with Principal Houston and have a spotlight of something else. But we went the whole segment this time with Principal Houston because there's a lot to discuss. We have the GHS return to learn, the pandemic that's going on. So we have the safeguards that we have to put in place for that, as well as the high school being under construction and the planning had to go in to prepare for, you know, this dual threat that we had going on. So Principal Houston will be there to talk to us about that.
That's coming up at the half. When we come back, also I'll take a look at the first half statistics. And we'll check out, see if we can get some updates on other scores going on in high school football around the area tonight. And Jake Miller will catch a word with the coaching staff when they return, find out what the strategy is for the second half as well. That's all coming up. We're at halftime. Silver Streaks lead at Geneseo 14-7 on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by the UPS store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg, and by Bradley Hicks, Century 21 affiliated. Morning, noon, nights, or weekends, Bradley Hicks will help you find your dream home.
Home ownership is one big to-do list, unless you farm out the remodeling to the pros. Courtright Construction of Oneida. These guys know how to give a room a facelift, and if you're desperate for more space, consider a room addition. Courtright Construction, the right choice for your next project.
Having bad credit doesn't mean it's the end of the road for you in your car buying journey. There are many car buyers with bad credit who qualify for financing on both new and used through YEM's credit acceptance program. This is Brandon Kinney from YEM and Galesburg. Whether you've been through bankruptcy, foreclosure, or have late or missed payments in your credit history, YEM can help get you approved. If your credit challenges have prevented you from buying a new vehicle, stop in soon and give us a chance to help with our credit acceptance program at YEM.
Gah! What happened with Wentworth's collision repair? I told him you better call Dave's. Dave's Auto Body, but that repair looks like a Hollywood actor with bad Botox and a weird facelift. Dave's doesn't jink around with cheap knockoffs. They restore to factory specs, and his techs get continuing primo training. And Dave's lifetime warranty beats the boogers out of the wannabe Dave shops. Hey, kids, here comes Wentworth again.
Dave's Auto Body.
Now try not to stare.
You better call Dave.
Hey, Wentworth. Are you crying?
At RP Lumber, we love seeing our regular customers and meeting new people. But did you know you can shop RP Lumber online 24/7? Make rplumber.com your one-stop online shop for all of your home improvement and project needs. Experience the RP difference.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by Justin Cook State Farm, providing great insurance rates on bundled auto, home, and life policies. Call today for the right policy and save money. Clear tonight, a low of 27. Sunny tomorrow, a high of 57. Clear tomorrow night, a low of 36. Sunny and mild Sunday, a high of 62. Cloudy, low 44 Sunday night. Monday, cloudy and a high of 61. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it's 37 degrees at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Galesburg High School football continues with the Silver Streaks Halftime Report, brought to you by First United Methodist Church in downtown Galesburg. Find them online at umcgalesburg.org. Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg Sports.
Welcome to the Galesburg Geneseo Halftime Show. I'm Sean Hickey with this week's segment of What's Good at GHS. It's been about a year and a half since we last ran the segment, and a lot has changed. From the pandemic to GHS construction, our return to school has been anything but normal. With me tonight, I have principal at GHS, Mr. Jeff Houston. Welcome, Mr. Houston.
Hey, it's great to be back, even if it's been a year and a half.
Absolutely. So, you know, I don't envy you at all with the challenges that we've had this school year, balancing the pandemic and providing a safe learning environment for students to learn in while in the middle of a building reconstruction. Either of those would be a headache on any given year, but we've had to deal with those at the same time. Given that this segment is called What's Good at GHS, let's concede the groans and focus on the glows of what we have with our situation. So where would you like to start?
Well, I think you just you talked about the pandemic. I just, you know, it's just the resiliency that we've shown from our staff and from a district standpoint, and even our kids that have returned back to our school. It's just been a great, healthy exchange. You know, I give the teachers and the district kudos because I think the early work that we did with professional development really helped our district handle the pandemic as well as it could be, as we had to go into a remote learning environment with the kids. And we did the best we can and we could. And the teachers, like I said, were resilient. And, you know, I think, Sean, you'll know that this happened last year about March, and here we are March again. And you've heard my theme of it. It's just survive in advance. And we've done that, and we just keep advancing. And so we're getting back to somewhat normalcy around here. And it's just been good. It's been good to see the kids on campus and the teachers. And there's just a lot of smiles that I can see coming through the masks.
Well, you talk about survive in advance. That's the March Madness idea, you know, of college basketball. But here we are still talking about football, which in itself is an odd feeling to be just finishing up the high school basketball season last Saturday, and now we're transitioning right into football. And you know, it's easy for me because this is week one, but for Brad Benowitz, this has been going on for a while with not much of a break there. So if you could tell us how the construction is going so far.
Well, I think we're hitting our timelines. I've been able to tour the facility a couple different times, and they've got the north end all emptied out and getting ready for that next phase. Been able to see some of the new classrooms that are getting put together and some of the old yellow tiles gone. You might remember that, Mr. Hickey, and anybody who's a past alum can remember the yellow tile in the hallways. And so it's really taken shape, and it's kind of exciting to see it happen. And I'd encourage anybody to, you know, stay up to speed with some of the pictures that are online through the district website. But being involved in that a little bit, in the new vocational center, we'll talk about that too. It's getting a whole makeover and is exciting for the students. Just, you know, I don't think there's a learning environment that's not going to be much better moving forward. The construction seems to be on time, And, you know, I think they're still trying to project getting in there sometime next year.
Sounds good. So with all that's been going on, you know, as you being the principal at Galesburg High School, with everything that's happening here, what has been the biggest challenge with you so far?
Oh, you know, just trying to manage the change that's occurring, you know. You know, when we talk about the pandemic, you know, this was new territory for everyone. And, you know, I think that, you know, just being able to the ability for us all to show grace towards one another has re-solidified my belief in our system. So I think the biggest challenge has just been, you know, changing the schedules of being in and out and making sure that, you know, we're still doing the best we can with both student populations, those that want to be remote and also the ones that want to be in school. And, you know, you feel that as well as a teacher. That's probably been your biggest struggle, I would imagine. You know, I think just handling the pandemic during this time, you know, the construction was going to occur either way, and that's just something that we were going to have to go through inevitably, but the pandemic we did not plan on.
Making a complex situation even more complex. And, you know, you talked about, as a teacher, it's one of the things that we have to do in education as educators, or for you as an administrator, or even as a student, is to strike that balance, you know, finding what's going to work and what's not going to work, and working through those hiccups that we have along the way. And this year has certainly been full of those. Now, going back to the construction, you talked about the vocational wing, of everything that is happening, the yellow tile off the floors, all these types of things. But with you watching this on a daily basis, what do you come out of this at this point that you feel that you're most excited about? What is the one thing that you, when you look at this, you say, this is going to be the marquee takeaway from the construction?
Well, I'd like to be able to pinpoint that for you, Sean, but I've been here now over 20 years, and so I've seen, you know, seen the lack of attention to our building in that time. And so the most exciting thing is that there's probably not going to be one piece of our building that's not going to get that attention that it deserves. And you've been teaching in the district now for a while, too, to have a new learning space and environment for the kids and something that's a little bit more vibrant and up to speed with the 21st century learner. And one thing I guess I'd be most excited about is we're going to have enough outlets in the room for all the technology that we now have in our district, because that's been a challenge, I know, just because we've been in an old building. So it's an exciting time. It really is. And I know that, you know, it's been hard on a lot of people, but it's given us all, I hope everybody can, it's given us all something to look forward to, the return. As we think about the return to normalcy, our normalcy is going to be better now. I mean, teachers are not going to, in August, aren't going to be sweating upstairs in math and other other classes. We're going to have controlled learning environments. And I'm just excited for everyone in that.
So what I'm hearing you say is new. New is the most exciting part of it, because it's going to be new and fresh for everybody. The smell of fresh paint, all that's going to be there. All right, perfect. So you alluded to this earlier. Right now, what is the overall timeline? If you can share what we're looking at here for, say, the start of the school year in August when we come back, what's the building going to look like at that point?
Well, you know, I think right now it's hard to put any kind of a timeline on that, because what I think that I've heard is that just distribution of goods, is there's some hold up on, you know, just materials and things because of this pandemic. So to put a timeline on it would be really hard. I know that the projected hope was that we could return to that building, you know, the first of next school calendar year. If it gets pushed to Christmas, we might have to get innovative and see how much workforce we can get on site to get that done, because the idea is we all want to get back in there, you know. And it's been like a college campus feel this year, I'll be honest with you, and it's not been ideal. But anybody who's ever gone to college would say that it's been a good preparedness piece for our kids who may want to go to a major university and have to walk a half mile in between classes.
Right. Flexibility is something that we have to be ready for on any level in preparation for that. All right. Very good. Well, that's a wrap for this week's halftime show regarding what's good at GHS. Thanks again to GHS Principal Mr. Jeff Houston for his time. Coming up next, we'll have halftime stats and second half action against the Geneseo Maple Leafs on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Stay connected to what's happening in Galesburg. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg's local news.
50-year-old Lisa Moncton of Abingdon was charged with reckless conduct after jumping from a moving vehicle yesterday. A group of kids reported seeing an injured woman on South Seminary Street around 6 p.m. yesterday. Guilford police made contact with the male driver of the now stalled vehicle near County Highway 10, who said he was taking a reluctant Moncton home when she tried to take control of the vehicle, causing it to go into a ditch, hitting a speed limit sign, and then jump from the moving vehicle. After getting cleared at Cottage Hospital, Moncton was charged with reckless conduct. Illinois is expanding the groups of people to be eligible for COVID-19 vaccines to include higher education staffers, government workers, and the media. In a news release, Governor J.B. Pritzker's office says those workers will be eligible for the vaccines starting Monday. The following Monday, March 29th, construction trade workers, food, and beverage workers will be eligible for vaccines. On April 12th, everybody over the age of 16 will be eligible. I'm Cameron Lyne. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg's News.
Fox News, I'm Sal Chiandrasso. Secretary of State Antony Blinken wraps up discussions with Chinese counterparts in Alaska.
We had the opportunity to lay out our priorities and intentions and to hear from the Chinese side their priorities and intentions. We were clear-eyed coming in. We're clear-eyed coming out, and we will go back to Washington to take stock of where we are.
Blinken says a wide range of topics were discussed. Another aide, the Eighth, accuses New York Governor Andrew Cuomo of sexual harassment, telling the New York Times that he looked down her shirt and made suggestive remarks. Sexual harassment charges are being investigated by New York's Attorney General amid many calls for Cuomo to resign, which he insists he will not do. A mixed close on Wall Street today. America is listening to Fox News.
Looking for quality cabinets but don't think you can afford it? RP Lumber Designers can work with any budget. We'll show you how to have the quality cabinets you want at the price you can afford. We'll help you make your Pinterest dreams come true. Come visit us today and experience the RP difference.
I can't get these headaches to stop.
Could it be your glasses from 8 years ago? And I love you, but you are much too cute for these outdated frames.
Hey!
Just saying, Kehoe has designer frames and the best eye exam available. You're worth it.
When you go to Kehoe, you'll see better after you get the best eye exam available. You'll look better with stylish new glasses, and you'll feel better because any nasty side effects from not seeing will be gone. See, look, and feel your best.
At Kehoe Eye Care, we care for people, not just eyes.
Robert, there's water running down the stairs. Do something before it ruins all the carpeting and walls.
Too late, sweetheart.
Hi, folks. This is Neil Thomas with Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Don't get caught off guard with a catastrophe like this. Sign up for our annual plumbing maintenance program. We'll do a complete inspection of all your plumbing as well as your sanitary sewer and give you the peace of mind you deserve knowing your plumbing is in good condition. Call us today at 342-HEAT for more details. You'll be glad you did.
Tune in for Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weekdays at 2 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Halftime at Geneseo. Silver Streaks leading the host Maple Leafs 14-7. I want to check out some other scores from around the area, specifically in the Western Big Six. Our halftime scoreboard brought to you by Courtright Construction in Oneida, the right choice for your next project. Rock Island leading Moline 22-14 as that game winds down toward halftime. And I just saw the UT score. Let me get an update there. United Township playing Quincy tonight. Quincy leading there 14-8. As less than 3 minutes to go before halftime in that game. So the Blue Devils with a one-touchdown lead over UT. And Rock Island with a one-touchdown lead over Moline. We'll see if we can find out what's going on in the Alleman-Sterling game as well as we are at halftime here. The Silver Streaks leading the Maple Leafs 14-7. Here's how it happened. Not a whole lot happened early on. Streaks had the football to start the game, went three and out. Geneseo did the same. Actually, the Streaks fumbled, had a fumble on the third play from line of scrimmage. which Geneseo recovered. That's what got the ball back to the Maple Leafs to begin with. They just kind of went back and forth. It was a scoreless first quarter. Not a whole lot happened. And then it was Xavier Coleman's interception. Geneseo on the Maple Leafs' second offensive drive had moved the ball down to the Galesburg 10-yard line. Xavier Coleman intercepted quarterback Nathan Beneke and returned it 60 yards to the Coleman returned the ball to the Geneseo 30-yard line, and the Silver Streaks were able to run it in six plays later, a six-play, 30-yard scoring drive, 2 minutes, 14 seconds. Grant Ayton's 4-yard touchdown run was the first score of the season. John Wren's extra point made it 7-0. Streaks defense really responded very nicely, forced a Geneseo 3 and out. Galesburg got the ball after the punt at the Maple Leaf 34-yard line. Five plays later, 34 yards, a minute 49 off the clock. Cannon Klein ran it in from 5 yards out. Wren's extra point made it 14-0 Silver Streaks. Then Geneseo responded after the kickoff and a very short return. The Maple Leafs had the ball at the Silver Streaks' 28-yard line. And a 10-play scoring drive, 72 yards, 3 minutes, 57 seconds off the clock. And a touchdown pass from Nathan Beneke to P.J. Moser made it 14-7. Ready to start the second half here. Silver Streaks start the second half on defense. And let's see what the Maple Leafs can do. Coming out of the gun, Beneke with the handoff to the right side, hit in the backfield, and then Moore bounces off the tackle, pops to the right side to the outside, crosses the 40 to the 41-yard line. After the kickoff was run back to the 33, as I was reading through the first half scoring drive, and we're underway in the second half. It'll be second and six for the Maple Leafs. I'll turn you back up, Sean. I guess they did.
That was a return to the 37.
All right, Moore again to the handoff to the left side. Found a little bit of room. Got stretched out across the 50 into the Galesburg 49-yard line for a pickup of 9 more, and well, Geneseo comes out a little inspired here in the second half, trailing by a touchdown, and in two plays, move the ball into Galesburg territory.
Yeah, the big concern, obviously, would be, you know, they score right before half and come around and get a little twofer, getting the ball right after the half. The Streaks got to work to stop in two running plays and two positive gains for Geneseo.
The snap goes underneath Beneke's legs, and he goes backwards after it, falling on it at the 35-yard line. We talked about it early on, Jake. You were saying how the Streaks hadn't been able to take advantage of it at all up to that point, and that one just scooted right between his legs, and the recovery ends up being a loss of 16.
By my count, that's the fourth one that there's been a problem with, right? That's averaging a couple a quarter. And again, the Streaks aren't able to make turnovers out of this, but when you do that on first down and you're behind the chains now, second and 25 like they are, that's a real hurting to your offense.
To the right side it goes. Moore again on second and 26, and he can't get out of the Streaks' swarming defense as he's able to pick up a couple to the 37, and it'll be third and very long here.
I tell you what, it's very surprising to see Cameron Aguirre, you know, as a sophomore out here, and I wasn't sure what we were going to get. I knew that we'd have a chance at seeing him tonight. He's a very athletic individual, and he's grown up right now on the defense here for the Streaks.
Yeah, he has very nice footwork. He's nice to watch. He's fun to watch.
Beneke rolling left, slings it across the middle. The pass is completed and returned across the 50 to the Galesburg 44-yard line. And that'll be about 6 yards short, 5 yards short of the first down. But Geneseo, well, looks like they're going to exchange and bring out the punt team. Got it back into Galesburg territory. I thought they might at least consider going for it on fourth and six.
Well, Jay, going back to your analogy of the low snaps, one of the things that helps out with that is the nerves of the center. You know, what am I going to do in my block? And we're getting good pressure up front, and that's a contributing factor to those snaps.
Thought they might go with a direct snap, and the ball in the air on the punt curves from left to right, and Geneseo chases it down as it takes a Galesburg sideways bounce, and the Maple Leafs down it at the Galesburg 26-yard line. So the defense bends a little, But they'll have it back not quite 3 minutes into the second half, leading 14-7 at their own 26. Jake, did you have a chance to – I saw you visiting with Coach Washabaugh. Did you get a chance to visit much?
No, we didn't get too much of a chance to visit much. I had a microphone malfunction there for a little bit, and I told him I'd check with him after the game and hopefully get some thoughts out of him there.
First down from the 26-yard line. Streaks leading by a touchdown. Handoff bouncing to the outside. Alex trying to get to the outside and a good swarm and a good open field tackle made just short of the 30-yard line with a flag down in the backfield at the end of the play.
I have to look at that. I thought that was a pretty good block by Jeremiah. It's a nice pancake block.
Well, that I saw that out of the corner of my eye, and that's what I wondered, if that's what they were calling the penalty on, because it was out of the corner of my eye. I thought it was pretty clean, but the officials already signaled the hold against the Silver Streaks, so that'll negate a 2-yard run by Alex Egyptiaco. The ball spotted back at the flag down at the 24-yard line. We'll take it back to the 14.
Looking at the replay, it did look like a little bit of a hold. He kind of tackled him, but the guy was out of position. He wasn't making a play. Sympathy flag.
Fourth penalty of the night against the Silver Streaks. Most of them have been pretty big ones. Short drop by Grant Ayton. Throws it to the sideline, caught there, and then immediately knocked out of bounds after the reception by Dre Egyptiaco, and not even back to the original line of scrimmage. So they get a little bit of the yardage back. Ball will be spotted right at the 23.
A little sprint out there. Again, Grant looking deep and just taking what he can get.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to get it all, right? Two more of those plays, and we get a first down.
Right, and that's the first play that we came out with to start the game was that, you know, 8-yard comeback route to the outside, and it's a timing route, and it takes the footwork of the quarterback to be able to hit that route. So it's there.
That was Dre's first reception since that first play of the game. Two catches, 18 yards. Ayton, good protection in the backfield. Now dumps it off, caught by Hunter Davina. Another flag down as he returns it close to the 35-yard line before he stopped. That would be a couple yards short of the first down, but the flag down back at the 22-yard line is going to negate this play.
The hard thing about that flag there is it's coming from the sideline. It's not coming from the guy behind the line. It's not coming from a guy at the linebacker position. It's coming from the sideline on the play that is about, well, I don't know, what did you say, Jake, 15 yards from him?
Yep. Yeah, the play was past him, and, you know, I wasn't looking that direction to know if he did it or not, but the Hankies are definitely flying here to start the second half.
Second holding penalty against the Silver Streaks. Again, the flag down of the 22. They'll take it back to the 12.
It's just about composure at this point. You know, now you don't want to make the big mistake deep in your own territory. If you bust one, you know, for a first down, all the better. We just need to continue to try to make some positive gains, get a good punt, flip the field. That's the goal. Always looking for a big play as well.
Ends up as about a 22-yard penalty as the completion to Hunter Davina was stopped at the 34. So on a passing down, caught by Davina, as Ayton just had to dump it off, and Davina with a catch at the 15 and then pushed backwards. So that goes as a very short play. Gain of only a yard. They're going to spot it at the 13, and now third and, let's see, they got to get it to the 36. So third and, I can't do that math. I'm an English teacher.
So we got to get to the 36.
20-something.
Third and 21.
Yeah.
All right, Streaks have been good on third down tonight. 3 out of 5, but this is difficult. Deep in their own territory. Ayton goes right, now scrambling left, has some room to run on the far side of the field, and then tackled from behind. Looked like he was just about maybe to get away and have a little bit of green space, but brought down at the 19-yard line for a gain of only 6, and the Streaks will have to punt it away.
Yeah, not the worst of outcomes there. The two penalties obviously being major hindrances to that drive.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get this thing punted away and hope the defense can continue doing what they've been doing pretty much all night.
Grant was tackled for a big loss early in the game. He's in positive yardage carrying the ball now, including that 4-yard touchdown run, the first score of the season for the Streaks. He's got 6 carries for 15 yards. Davina standing back at his 5 to punt this one away as we approach the 7-minute mark of the third quarter.
Good punt.
Runs into it, line drive to the near side, and it backs up the returner, Tannen Rink, and the Streaks are able to corral him all the way back at the 43-yard line. So Davina's line drive punt backed up Rink, and then he wasn't able to get his forward momentum going, and the Streaks special teams got downfield, didn't allow a return.
That was outstanding coverage. We had both Egyptiakos down there on the coverage as well as Raheem Spinks. The guy got the ball, tried to come out, had nowhere to go but down. So interesting spot here. Oh, never mind. They're switching balls.
Nose of the football on the far hash mark of the 43-yard line.
The whole Geneseo team came to the wrong ball and lined up, and they spotted the ball on the other hash.
Just under 7 minutes to go in the third quarter. Both teams with one offensive possession in the half. Neither has scored. Streaks remain on top, 14-7.
Little run-out play there. It was kind of, you know, Jake, Sean, wouldn't you say that that was kind of a screen for the most part? I mean,
it's just a little sprint out. And
yeah.
You know, we run in that same play where you kind of read the end man on the line of scrimmage, and if he's going to attack the quarterback, you throw it. And if he stays in coverage, you run it. So, it's just a little sprint out. Very simple, very high percentage.
5 yards on the gain, and you take that.
Beneke slings it out to the right side, caught on the far side of the field by Rink again after he just returned the kickoff, and it's into Galesburg territory at the 45-yard line for a gain of 7. So two short pass plays, and they are in Galesburg territory now at the Streaks 45 after a gain of 5 and then a gain of 7. First down, Maple Leafs, just across the Galesburg 45. Beneke stops, quarterback draw, up the middle, spins out of one tackle, then backpedals across the 40 and moves the Galesburg white jerseys deeper inside the 40 before the play is blown dead at the 38. So Beneke on the keeper picks up 7.
Streaks making some changes up front here on the interior line. Just trying to find a little spark here and slow down this Geneseo momentum on this.
Yeah, play. It seems like Geneseo is going a little bit faster here.
There should be a false start.
And there's a flag as the Maple Leafs got the play away.
and I get what they're saying up there.
I don't know how well that's coming through the microphones.
Very well.
Okay, good.
But down here they have, in my opinion too, they've missed a couple false start penalties that should have stopped the play before it started, and it's been something that they have been down here talking about too. And they finally, you know, they saw that one, and the Streaks coaches are ecstatic to hear that.
Second penalty against the Maple Leafs for just 10 yards tonight. Moves the ball back to the 45-yard line. 5:29 and counting here in the third quarter. Maple Leafs in Galesburg territory. The sweep from right to left, and the handoff goes to Mason Jones, who advances the ball back to the 41 before stop there for a gain of 4. And it'll bring up third and about 6.
Cam McGuire again. I mean, I don't know if you were to chart the growth of him during this ball game. You know, you got a graph there with an X and a Y axis. Do we see a good trend going upwards? He's definitely earning lots of playing time here for the Silver Streaks going forward.
Exponential growth,
absolutely.
Out of the gun, Beneke, who gets the pass away, nearly deflected in the backfield. Streaks, yep, good defense surrounding Jaden Winzerl on the completion. And he gets maybe a yard out of all that. A lot of scrambling as the open field closed very quickly with the Streaks defensive players. And actually no gain on the play, so fourth down now from the 41.
Change of personnel here for the Maple Leafs coming out with their punt team.
The Streaks defense continues to hold. And, you know, some of the kids I talked to today said that they were really confident about their defensive performance tonight coming in, and they're proven to be right.
Snap away, the punt down the middle of the field. Streaks with a fair catch. They let it go. Now taken on a bounce right at about the 6, I think, as the ball bounced up into Raheem Spinks' midsection. He was waving the fair catch.
Right.
And that's what the official is explaining to him right now. I think that ball came at Raheem so fast when it squirted across the ground and then hopped up at him.
So that's where I was confused. So he calls for the fair catch, doesn't catch the ball in the air, but then picks it up on the run. So the fair catch, according to the official, is still then in play because he stopped the play as soon as Rakeem touched the football off the bounce.
Well, that's deceiving because when the defense sees that, they think that, you know, I need to throttle down.
Correct.
And you can't allow the guy to then go pick up the ball and run. So,
right.
And he was hit on the play, you know, because you could argue that he had a fair catch signal and he got the ball and then he was hit. But it's also confusing for the defender, too, to know how to play that.
We have what we think is the COVID timeout here, 4:07 to go in the third quarter. The streak still with a 14-7 lead. They'll have the ball at their own 9-yard line coming out of this timeout. Thanks again to Gillsburg Nissan for providing our transportation to Geneseo tonight, a 2019 Nissan Maxima, and another opportunity to talk about that great lifetime warranty available at Gillsburg Nissan. Qualifying vehicles, 5 years old or less than 50,000 miles. And if you purchase it at Gillsburg Nissan, for the life of the car that you have it from that point forward, the powertrain, the drivetrain assembly are covered, among a whole lot of other things with that lifetime warranty. Check it out at Gillsburg Nissan. Ask about the 2019 Nissan Maxima that we have tonight or any of the terrific selection of certified pre-owned and new vehicles. Thanks to Gillsburg Nissan providing our transportation to Geneseo tonight. Coming out of the timeout, not a whole lot of play there as Alex got the hand. He never went down, but the officials blew the play dead. I think Alex was ready to pop out of that swarm of jerseys there and try to make something out of it, but they blow it dead at the, looks like the 10, so he picks up a yard.
This entire quarter of the streaks have been in negative yardage, meaning by or a negative field position.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really important here that we put together one first down at least, try to get one, try to get two, and if nothing else, flip this ball to the other side of the field. It's dangerous playing on your side of the field the entire quarter.
Second and 9 from the 10. Handoff to the right side. There's a little bit of room to run for Kyron Leith as he gets out to the 15 to the 16-yard line before he stopped there. Streaks will need a little bit more than that to move the chains, but get a little bit of breathing room as we wind down toward 3 minutes to go in the third quarter of a 14-7 lead.
And Jake, I don't know if you saw that, but that give was was a nice read, if we're reading it at all. But if he held that and pulled it out, there's only one guy there trying to cover two.
Yeah, it's fun to watch this because this is the, I mean, that's a little wrinkle that I haven't seen Gillsburg run, which since you and I coached, right? And running that little veer option is a nice wrinkle for Grant.
Third and 3 for the Silver Streaks. Again, they go to Cannon Klein, who bounces to the outside, and he's got a first down up to the 29-yard line.
And that is what Gillsburg needed, right? We got a first down, get a little bit of momentum going, and if nothing else, try to get the field position battle flipped.
Well, Genesee was reading our personnel. We're double tight. We have our three backfield players, and they're packing the line. And we saw this late in the first quarter, start of the second quarter, where we were running this and we were really moving the ball. We were getting a push up front, and even though they're packing a box, Jake, you even mentioned that on a couple of plays where they had six in the box or six on the line, the linebackers had eight in the box, and we were still moving it. Here we are, going to spread it out just a little bit more than what we've been.
Could hear the excitement from the Gillsburg sideline on that play too. Grant across the middle, off of Hunter Davina's shoulders, popped up into the air. Geneseo was not able to get to it, but Hunter was wide open right into the middle of that Geneseo defense. I think he just took his eyes off the ball.
Stricken down the sideline, right in front of the Gillsburg sideline, was Dre Gypsyaku, who was uncovered as well.
Going to get an official timeout here.
Injury.
Geneseo linebacker down.
Yeah. Player in the Gillsburg backfield I saw for Geneseo is coming off slow. Yep.
Caden Davison.
Second and 10 streaks. Ball spotted just short of the Gillsburg 30. 2:22 to go here in the third quarter, and the streaks leading 14-7. Last game against these Maple Leafs, back in September of 2019, Streaks lost 21-7. Now the referee talking to the Streaks, who were coming up under center, ready to go, but he hadn't blown the whistle yet, gets their attention, says, now you can go. Ayton drops back. Handoff in the backfield to Alex, cuts back toward the middle, crosses the 33. It'll be second and about six.
Pretty positive gain there, just a basic power. It's a basic power inside zone there to the right side.
Yeah, I don't know if we even blocked that as a power.
Yeah,
I don't think we pulled around. I just think it was either a lead or an ISO type of play.
48 yards rushing on the night for Alex Egyptiaco, the leading ball carrier for the Silver Streaks. The rushing touchdowns for Cannon Klein and Grant Ayton. Third and five, Silver Streaks. Minute 45 and counting here in the third quarter. Streaks 4 for 7 on third downs tonight. Out of the gun. Ayton, the short drop, looking left. Now pressure, trying to run out of it. Rolling left, got some room. Throwing it downfield. Man open to Vina, off his hands, inside the 30-yard line. Grant dropped it in right over the shoulder. Hunter just couldn't reel it in. It would have been a difficult catch, but it was there. It was possible, and he just couldn't reel it in. Fourth down.
Yeah, Grant doing a great job creating back here as he ran out of time. And Hunter DeVina doing a great job adjusting his route. I'm not sure that that's where it was initially designed to go. And, man, he put it on a dime on the run. But that is a very difficult. He was defended. He was in full stride. And it's that was a tough catch.
Well, that's one of the things that Grant provides for us. He's not a pocket passer.
No.
You know, he's not tall enough for that. He can't sit in there. He's got to move. And the ability to move and keep a play alive like that, it's hard to defend downfield.
Now DeVina has to catch his breath, get the punt away. Goes high up into the air. And it'll be caught and wrapped up immediately inside, down to about the 32-yard line as the coverage was there by Alex Egyptiaco to make the stop. And the Maple Leafs will have the ball at their own 33-yard line with a minute 20 to go here in the third quarter.
Nice coverage there. And you have to think as a returner, you should see a little bit of what's in front of you. To be able to know that there's a guy there, and he didn't make the fair catch, and Alex is right on top of him to make the play.
From the 33-yard line.
Of note, Hunter DeVina, after the punt, comes up a little bit lame, something with his left leg. He's just...
He's breathing heavy over here on the bench.
Yeah, doesn't look to be too serious. BJ's, our trainer's checking him out, and hopefully he can get him back in the ballgame soon.
Yeah, a lot of reps. He's had a lot of reps tonight.
Yeah, I don't think he's left the field.
Right, and you know, you talk about fatigue. The Genesee is going to be in the same position, so fatigue is going to be fatigue. You know, we have a number of guys that also played basketball, so they have that conditioning as well. But to be in football shape is a different story. Looks like we have a false start here in the Maple Leafs.
Not the cleanest of starts here to the second half, that's for sure. This third quarter is showing some issues. Genesee now with a couple false start penalties,
right,
and streaks with their own problems as well. A couple drop passes. Both teams, you know, definitely showing the jitters here in the first half. As fatigue sets in, some of these mistakes are definitely starting to show themselves.
And let's, you know, hope to have more of those center exchanges, you know, those low snaps that,
yep,
are getting past the quarterback.
Geneseo's third offensive possession. Pass to the right side is complete on the far side. Again, the target and the completion to P.J. Moser, the leading receiver for Geneseo here tonight. And we hear again the coaching staff for the Streaks barking to our right, and we see Mike Washabaugh echoing the case, thinking that there was forward movement in the backfield.
Yeah, they're bringing a guy in motion into the line of scrimmage, into the formation, and he's curling in. You know, this is not the Canadian Football League. You cannot be moving forward to the line of scrimmage when the ball is snapped. And it's happened a number of times. They're not calling it.
Goes as a gain of 8, 2nd and 7, dodging some tackles in the backfield. Now backpedaling, Dominic DeBuff, who moves his way forward to about the 38-yard line.
3rd and 3 or so.
Yeah, big third down here for the Streaks.
First carry of the night for Dominic DeBuff. So it'll be 3rd and 4 at the Geneseo 39-yard line. They come to the line quickly. Beneke looking to the sideline. Geneseo 0 for 2 on third downs in this half so far. 3 for 6 for the game.
Get the ball, get the ball.
And movement on the line. The snap, Cannon Klein comes flying through, picks up the ball. He wants, and he's picking it up and he's running it back. Now there's a flag down with the referee in the middle of the play, dropping the flag right in the middle of everything. We have players on both sides standing around.
That has to be a turnover. That has to be. He snapped the ball.
Chaos.
Unsportsmanlike on us, we must have been mocking a snap or something.
This is okay, so they're going to say that we simulated the
snap
start
count
of the snap count by faking the blitz that way.
Well, if you're going to get that, it's got to be verbal.
Right, that's the only thing that could be.
It's not faking a you know, the blitz. It's not stemming the lineman and shifting the lineman. It has to be something verbal that is simulating a snap count.
I don't know that I've ever seen that in a game before. So they're going to get Mark off.
I don't know when the flag came
here.
In.
Right. I mean, there was movement
yarder?
At the line. There was the ball sitting on the ground. Cannon Klein dives on it. And a lot of people just standing around. And a 15-yard penalty against the Silver Streaks is going to be the third time tonight that Geneseo is going to get a penalty from the Streaks as a third down conversion for a first down, which moves the ball into Galesburg territory.
Yikes.
At the 48. 73 yards in penalties against the Streaks, and still a lot of talking going on.
Coach
the referee Washer in the
ball.
Middle of the Galesburg huddle.
Wants an explanation here.
Understandably so.
Yeah. So would I. But I think we have a. I think we know what it was. We might be asking for a number. Who was it? Can you give me a number?
So the discussion out on the field, again with the ball now sitting in Galesburg territory at the 48-yard line. 7 seconds remaining in the third quarter with the Streaks leading 14-7.
I've not seen a crew allow so much discussion from the players. They're pleading their case and trying to explain what happened. It's not going to change anybody's mind.
Right.
The officials heard them out, which is interesting. So here we are. We're going to get a first down and 10. Geneseo with the ball right around midfield.
Perhaps Coach Washerbell said, can you tell my players what they're doing wrong?
Hand off to the right side. Bouncing off a couple of tackles and a big hit on Dominic DeBuff at the end of the play at the 45. So he gains 3 on the final play of the third quarter. And we go into the fourth quarter. The streak still hanging on, leading 14-7. Geneseo ball at the Galesburg 45-yard line when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
I'm Pastor Vince Rohn of First United Methodist Church in Galesburg, where we believe in making room for everybody. We do that in person at 120 North Kellogg Street, where we have 2 different Sunday morning services, classes for all ages, children and youth ministry every week in safe ways. We also do that at firstumcgalesburg.org with worship services and other online opportunities to connect with God and others. Whoever you are, join us on Sunday mornings at 9 or at 10:30 or anytime at firstumcgalesburg.org.
Nose area?
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
12 minutes to go in the opening game of the Silver Streaks spring football season. Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey, Jake Miller from Geneseo High School, Will Stevenson, our broadcast engineer, and the Streaks leading 14-7. And 2nd and 7 Maple Leafs to begin the fourth quarter from the Galesburg 45-yard line. Beneke out of the gun, rolling left. Now pressure from the backside, but he gets it away. Almost picked off, batted away by Kyron Leith on the far side. Incomplete. 3rd and 7.
That was Xavier Coleman again.
Yep.
Close to his second interception there.
Yep.
Nice play, nice break on the ball.
Good pressure on there. Hunter Dabena fighting through some handsy blocking, too, as well. Fighting through and putting pressure on the quarterback. And here we are again, 3rd and 7. And the Streaks have proven time and again, without penalties, they've been able to stop Geneseo on third down most of the night.
Yeah, 3 penalties to create first downs. Other than that, only 1 first down that Geneseo has converted on their own on fourth down. 3rd and 7 here from the Streaks, 45. Beneke rolling right, deflected as Aaron Carl got into the backfield and batted the pass away for an incompletion.
Here comes the punt team rolling out, so it's, you know, we're going to keep it there at 4th and 7, and they're going to punt it away inside our territory and on our 45 going in. They, again, are electing to punt. Good news for us.
You know, I heard the coaches in the box to our right after the unsportsmanlike penalty that got Geneseo the last first down. I heard them urging on the sideline coaches to remind the kids, don't get down on just because of these calls are going against them. And the defense responded. The punt to the far side of the field. Nobody there for the Silver Streaks as the ball rolls inside the 15 down to about the 12, where the Silver Streaks will take over. 11:39 to go in the game, leading 14-7. Winning time, fellas. And this team hasn't had a lot of those in the last few years. And we're going to see just how far this team has come right here in these final 11 and a half minutes of the game.
You know, we're at a point here where if we look back at this half, it hasn't been very clean by either team.
No.
You know, we've been stuck in our side of the field. Neither team's moving the ball very well. And by and large, what the Maple Leafs have gotten for movement of the ball has been on our penalties.
Yep.
So it has not been a very clean half. But now's a great time for us to regather, get things going here in the fourth quarter, run some time off the clock, and hopefully get a couple of first downs. Jake, we had a double tight end looking there. Was that another yep. Double tight wishbone play? So here we are about game four, so second and six.
Yeah, we're going to make personnel changes here. Tight ends coming out, receivers going in. Cohen Derry coming in the ball game.
Gain of four on that play.
And Grant Aiden back in the gun.
From the 16-yard line of the Silver Streaks. Empty backfield. Aiton, short drop, looking middle, now rolling left.
Some running.
He's got some room to run. He's got the first down, tackled right short of the 25-yard line. Should be right at the stick.
And
they're going to move in it.
Yep.
The field was open, and Grant saw it.
Yeah, it was a good decision there. He was trying to find Dre, I think, as he was crossing.
Yeah, the rub route.
Yeah, and Dre was kind of navigating all that traffic that's there in the middle of the ball field. And he just couldn't get it in time. And if he had a little more patience, I think he'd have seen him pop open. He elected to run, and it was a good result.
10.5 minutes to go in the game.
Cannon Klein here.
Hand off to the right side. Klein, short gain. First down for the Silver Streaks from the 24. He'll get across the 25 to the 26 thereabouts. Second and eight upcoming.
Good news here is that the clock is running. So we're just about, we're 10:15 left in the game.
Klein's first carry of the second half. He has one of the Streaks, two touchdowns tonight, both on the ground. Rushing touchdowns from Aiton and Klein. 10 minutes to go. Streaks leading by a touchdown. Second and eight. Fake handoff. Aiton rolling right. Throws on the run. Complete far side. Dre Egyptiaco tripped up at the 35-yard line. And that should be enough. The stick looking just short. And there they go. So a pickup of nine. Moves the chains. Third 9-yard reception of the night for Dre Egyptiaco.
Okay, and you've seen the pattern here. So here come the big backs.
Yep.
You're going to see the tight ends come out and slip here in first down. We're going to be in bone. And then in second down, they've come out with the receivers. And he's got a nice little pattern going here. It's been two first downs in a row running these sets.
All about developing the rhythm. Handoff up the middle. No, the keeper by Aiton trying to get to the outside with a lead block. Good. And he's tackled across the 45 to the 47-yard line for another first down. And a good lead block on the outside to help Grant get the extra yardage to move the chain.
Jake, we talked about that earlier, where if he would have pulled that one play, he had one person to deal with, and it was there. And I think Damian Thomas was kind of his pitch man, was trying to keep a little relationship with him. But if he knew that Grant was going to tuck it and run, he could have cut up sooner and really given a nice block there to spring him for some more yardage. But nice play. Here we are now, first and 10 on the Galesburg 47.
Approaching midfield. 9 minutes to go in the game with the Streaks leading by a touchdown. Aiton rolling right. Going to throw it on the run and underthrown a little bit just behind Tristan Hovind on the far side of the field at about the Geneseo 35-yard line. He was open and just threw it behind him just a little bit that forced Hovind to kind of stop his momentum and come back for it.
Yeah, Grant wanted to throw it sooner than Tristan was ready for it. And so that's what you saw there is just a little miscommunication. He wanted to get him. It was running a little wheel route.
It was a wheel route, yeah. He was open.
Yeah, and Grant wanted the ball to him right then. Tristan wasn't quite ready for it, and so you got what you got there. But that's open, too. And here we go. Streaks back in. We got two tight ends with a flanker in the eye. I bet you see Veer.
With a toss play. Halfback pass. Downfield. Man is open to Dre. He caught it at the Geneseo 20. Still on his feet. Run out of bounds at the 16-yard line. The pass play from Alex Egyptiaco to brother Dre. And the Streaks are deep in Geneseo territory.
And here's a risky thing real quick, Jake. Here's a risky thing about that was Alex kept his gloves on. So sometimes when you go throw that, it's difficult. Go ahead, Jake.
Everybody throws with gloves on nowadays. So even the quarterbacks are doing it. What a play call and what a time to do it. I mean, to call that on second and long the way he did, obviously that's something that they've been practicing and they've been keeping that in the back pocket. And that was the best time to bring that out.
A 36-yard pass play. And the Streaks return to the bone. Handoff right side. They go back to Alex inside the 15. Stacked up after about the to about the 13-yard line, and a nice little gain on first down inside the Geneseo 15.
Back in the bone. If we stay true to form, here come receivers. Nope. I think we're going to stay in it. Going to stay in it, in the pattern. Kenny Klein still in the game at fullback, which would indicate in the eye or in the bone.
Give Alex a gain of three, where they're marking the ball at the 14-yard line. Hand off to Alex again, trying to pop to the outside, running left. Gets underneath
the shoulder.
Yep, put his shoulder into the defense. Makes some positive yardage out it, down to about to the 11.
I do think the coach would like him to tuck it in, you know, keep that inside there instead of trying to bounce it.
Yeah, I understand why he did it, just seeing the angle that I had, but certainly that play is designed not to do that. But he finished the run very well, got a little something out of it. Third and five, two-down territory. You're probably also in John Wren's range.
Right, and we also talking about running the clock down. So here we
absolutely
are inside 7:20. So nice drive here, consuming some time.
To the Geneseo 11.
Nice play.
Counterplay to the right side. And Geneseo read it. So not much there for Cannon Klein.
Kick it now.
So Wren will come out. And the ball will be spotted. Where are they going to down it? At the 11, so no gain on the play. So be about a 28-yard field goal attempt here.
Okay, what an opportunity to talk about John Wren. John Wren, part of the soccer team, had a soccer match Saturday. Came back, had another one maybe Wednesday or yesterday. Had one today at home against Canton, which they won. Drove up here to Geneseo. Kicking.
Good snap.
Looks good.
Good kick.
Yeah,
and it's good, and the Streaks have a 10-point lead.
Oh, we have a flag. We have a flag.
Oh, we do have a flag. You're right.
It's right at the kicker.
Right at the kicker, yep. And if this is roughing the kicker, the Streaks have a new set of downs.
We could.
Grant Hayden is indicating.
We could take the points.
Sure is.
Yeah, you take the points off the board here, and you get the first down.
Depends on
Grant
what they're.
Grant Hayden's indicating it's against Geneseo.
Well, where the flag is, I don't think that we could be holding
about
that far back.
It couldn't be anything else,
10 yards deep.
Mike Washabaugh, 15 yards out on the field, trying to find out from the referee.
I don't know, guys. I think I take the points off the board, don't you?
Well, are we inside of five? Where is it? Where are we on a tape with the fourth down marker? I've got a bad angle, Jake. Are we?
Well,
yeah, I got a bad angle.
The ball was at the 11.
They're going to measure. They're going to look at where the tape is here. If we're inside the tape, which means the tape I'm talking about is the middle of the chains. There's a tape that's going to be in the middle of the chains. If that stick is inside the tape, then 5 yards will give us a first down.
Uh-huh. First down Streaks. He's going to take the points off the board.
It's be half the distance. Right?
And the offense is coming back out.
How about that?
Yep.
So the Silver Streaks get a first down on fourth down because of a Geneseo penalty.
They had not moved the sticks, though.
Which the Streaks have had plenty of gifts on those.
At this point.
Okay, so it's inside the 10. Yep.
They just haven't put them down.
Yep.
The sticks no longer matter.
Yep.
We have first and goal on the 6-yard line.
Okay. So, you know,
I like it.
They get the ball spotted here. They should wind the clock, shouldn't they? I mean, no, they shouldn't.
It was penalty stops it, right?
Yeah, but it was a dead ball.
Yeah,
right.
Correct.
So back to a one-possession lead at 14-7, but first and goal for the Streaks at the Geneseo 6. 6:40 to go in the ball game. Under center, Ayton. Penetration, Ayton bounces out
movement.
Of it, going for the corner to the left side, diving for the corner.
He'll be down at the 2.
And right. Wind it good. Winding the ball, or winding the clock.
We're counting on you down there, Jake. We got a lot of players blocking our view from up here.
Well, unfortunately, the quarterback's mother was standing right in front of me, and I couldn't get a very good angle.
Well, I hope she got the shot. Did she get a good shot of it anyway?
She had the camera out, so we'll get good visual. No, Grant was running. Listen, if they keep running Veer like this, Sean, I might come back and start coaching because this is just in my alley.
Well,
Grant runs Veer to the left. He keeps it.
Here we go. Second and goal.
Hand off
left side. The push forward from the line. No signal from the officials yet. Looks to be a little bit short, I guess.
We're going to have third down, and we are just inside the 1 yard line.
Who ended up with that one? Was that Damian?
Yeah, Damian Thomas there with the carry. And, you know, I tell you what, right here, I think I'm following Reed Hawkins right up the middle. If I was,
you're calling Wedge.
I was making a call, I'd certainly just call Wedge and Goose and Go.
Goose and Go, yep. He's showing it.
There it is.
He got it.
No.
Up the middle. There's the surge at the end.
Okay. We'll exchange
those
points.
And there's the touchdown.
Coach Watch proves to make the right decision.
Yep.
Takes a point off the board. He has confidence in his offense. And they get it done for him, proving him right.
Well, and take another 2 minutes off.
Yeah, that's
was
even
that
bigger.
About where it was? Maybe a minute and a half.
It was 6:40 to go, so a little a minute 11.
With the way the Streaks defense is playing, a 2-score lead seems to be like we're in very good shape.
Tell you guys, they just took 6 minutes and 10 seconds off the clock and made it a 2-touchdown lead with 5.5 minutes to play. Remember, there was 11. We just started the fourth quarter. We weren't even 30 seconds into the fourth quarter, and the Streaks moved it 88 yards. And now setting up for the extra point from Wren. The kick is up. It looks awfully good. And the Streaks now lead 21-7. The identical score that the Streaks lost to Geneseo in September of 19. They now lead by 2 touchdowns with 5:29 to go in the game on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Exciting Silver Streak basketball and the exciting lineup of cars, trucks, and SUVs at Galesburg Nissan. From one end of the court to the other, we feature the most dependable and fuel-efficient dream team. Galesburg Nissan is home with a lifetime warranty. No gimmicks, no deductible, and no expensive service requirements. Plus, you get a free loaner car for life if your car needs to be in the shop. And every fifth oil change is free. We want to be your dealer for life, and we'll strive to prove it every day. Galesburg Nissan, home with a lifetime warranty, where you just can't buy a Nissan for less.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
I'm going to say it again. We were just talking about it off air. I'm going to say it again. 88 yards on the scoring drive. 88 yards. 14 plays. And they took over half the time off in the fourth quarter and now lead the Geneseo Maple Leafs 21-7 with 5:29 to go in the game. The kickoff by Wren, short down the middle of the field, taken at the 23-yard line. Trying to bounce to the outside is Tannen Rink again, and the Streaks surround him. Not much of a return. And the Streaks defense legitimately fired up by what the offense has just done in this game.
Nice coverage there by Javion Beckham to come up and make that play. It was a short kick, like we said, but he covered it very well, got downfield, and here they are with the first and 10 from the 28-yard line.
Well, I mean, you couldn't have answered your, you know, Brad, you said winning time, right? Right before we got this quarter started.
Yep.
And, you know, up a score with the ball, and the Streaks answered. I mean, the big play that the double pass or the halfback pass, whatever you want to call it, completely changed the outlook here.
Defense needs to respond here, not give Geneseo any chance. And Beneke just throws it away.
I think
the only person wide open
there was Clark Hawkins here by us, ex-Silver Streak quarterback. Closest he's been to receiving end of a ball like that in a while.
I'm pretty sure Clark would have dropped it. I don't know why I think that.
Now, we all remember what Clark Hawkins did for Jacob Ross when he was injured in the last game of the 2015.
Yeah,
against an undefeated Peoria High School team.
Number one in the state.
Number one in the state.
That's still one of my highlights as a Silver Streaks fan.
My goodness.
What a night.
It was.
In all that, we do have a penalty flag there. I didn't see a signal here. Is it a grounding call?
He was outside the pocket. Is that a rule in high school football?
I don't know. But Clark Hawkins was not an eligible receiver.
No, that much we know.
And he was outside of the track when it was thrown to him.
Well, it's a 15-yard penalty. I don't see a loss of – nope, there's a loss of down, so it is grounding.
Yeah, so it is grounding. There's the signal.
The only one in coverage on that play was his mom.
Right.
I think she made a good play on that.
Clark's mom.
Yes.
Right.
She made a nice break, broke that play up.
Second and 25. Maple Leafs back at their own 13 now. They get set. Beneke out of the gun, rolling left, decent protection, throwing it downfield, man wide open on the far side, it's caught at the 48, Streaks in pursuit, Aiden drags him down from the 25-yard line, Grant with a full head of steam, chased him down all the way on the far side, and I think that was Bristol Lewis on the reception.
Can't see the number on the far side.
It might have been Kate Ariano.
Right.
Either way, it was a terrific pass by Beneke, and how did he get that wide open?
I couldn't see it. The only
I'm looking at the replay here.
A double move. That's got to be that we bid on a double move. Geneseo hasn't run one of those all night.
As a coach, you're yelling, don't let anybody behind you.
It's down to the 23-yard line. First down, Geneseo under pressure. Big hit, but he gets the pass away, and it's complete and taken down at the 10-yard line. Hunter Davina came on, put a big hit on Beneke, but he completes the pass, and they have a first and goal at the 10.
Dude, yeah, delivered that.
The guts to stand in there and deliver that pass the way that kid did. Very impressive. Hunter Davina made him feel it, no doubt about it.
64 yards in two pass plays. And Geneseo with a first and goal with under 4:40 to go in the game. Beneke taking his time. Got the signal from the sideline. Here's the snap. The handoff up the middle to Moore. Got tripped up right at the line of scrimmage. Gain of a yard. There was a hole there. But somebody got him down low, and he went down quickly.
Yeah, I don't know who it was that got him low. I'm looking who's come up. I see Cannon Klein there, but I don't think he would have been on it. The trip would have been.
54.
I can't see the number.
54.
Well, 60 is Reed Hawkins. He's coming up out of there, too. So he may have been enough to get the shoestring tackle there.
Second and goal. To the left side. Beneke on the keeper. Sprints up the middle. Dragged down. Gets to the goal line, but the ball popped out at the end.
They call him down.
But I think he was down because the ball hit the ground. He was reaching out for the goal line, and I'm pretty sure that's when the ball came out. He's not in the end zone, so it's third and goal, and the clock continues to run with 3:40 to go. Two-touchdown lead for the Silver Streaks. It's going to be third and goal from the one. Beneke with an 8-yard run. And just how close is this to the goal line, Jake? What's your eyeball?
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. It's we're going to get a timeout here.
Now we got a good look at it.
I'm going to get a little better peek at it. I was on the other side.
You know, two big plays, and they moved away from you quickly downfield.
Yeah. Get moving, Jake.
Right. My legs were too cold to move down that far, I think.
So two pass plays of 49 yards and 13 yards very quickly took Geneseo from inside their own 30 down to the Galesburg 10. Then a 1-yard run and a Beneke 8-yard run, and we have a Geneseo timeout with 3:24 to go in the game, and the Streaks leading 21-7. It'll be third and goal from the one.
There is not enough room to slide a piece of paper between the nose of the football and the goal line. It is right on the goal line right now, so...
Well, Beneke's pretty long and lanky, so when he reached that arm out there, it was close.
Look for the Streaks maybe to stem here on the off. Coach Wash has done this. He'll stem and try to get the offensive line to jump off sides.
They've been looking a lot for the motion in the backfield. Doesn't happen here. The play goes to the right side, and they got the touchdown. Moore runs it in, stayed on his feet despite the contact, and Geneseo pulls it, makes it a one-possession game with 3:21 to go. 21-13 Silver Streaks. Six-play scoring drive. And they did it without the aid of any Galesburg penalties this time. Two big plays set that one up, and this game is not over yet.
Another whistle.
Stoppage of play here.
They did, of course, and keep in mind, too, they also had the grounding penalty that cost them 15 yards.
Right. And then I think it was the next play or the two plays later where they had the little double move. And, the white hat is sending the kicker off the field. Did he not have a
mouthpiece?
A mask? Did the boys have to play?
There are masks inside the helmets, so they don't have to wear them separately. They're sort of part of the helmet.
I'm surprised they're not calling a timeout here. They're just sending a kicker who probably hasn't warmed up.
The snap is good. The hold is good.
Well,
the kick is plenty.
Yeah.
And a roar from the sideline indicates that
that was
unexpected. Brendan Hipkins.
He kicked that pretty
well. A 5'7" senior.
Goodness.
And it's 21-14 with 3:21 to go in the game.
He came off the bench, said, yeah, I can do this.
That's why they didn't call a timeout. He obviously knew what he had there. That was, that's a big play, right?
It is.
You get it back to 7 points, and they run the kicker off the field, their normal kicker off the field. He's back out there to go and kick this thing off. And I tell you what, with 3.5 left, the way Geneseo's offense is – not been very successful tonight. I wonder if something tricky might be in the works here.
Yep. I mean, you got to take the chance. The Streaks just took over 6 minutes off the clock on their last drive. If you're Geneseo, can you really take the chance of putting the hands in your defense and trying to force a three and out without trying to go?
You can, because Geneseo has all three timeouts left.
Right.
You know, yeah, see what you get.
Try to play the field position game. I get what you're saying there.
We're not set up for hands, really.
Well, and they're not set up for an onside right
Correct.
Now. At least they're not lining up that way.
3:21 to go in the game.
They are 6x4 instead of a 5x5 split. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if they've been doing that
do
all
game.
Do you
have a kicker that can kick it deep? I don't know.
I think you kick it deep, and you take your chance on getting a stop and using timeouts.
Streaks leading 21-14 with 3:21 to go in the game.
Here it comes, right toward us.
Yeah. Well, they pooch it to the near side, and that's going to be an easy catch made for Xavier Coleman, and he takes a knee at the 35-yard line. So the Streaks play it safe. The kick was, I mean, couldn't have been better for the Silver Streaks. I mean, it was right into Xavier's midsection. He didn't even have to run up on that one very much.
You know, that kick can be successful if you get more air under it. You know, that's a very tricky kick to do.
Yep.
But he didn't get enough air under that. So it works out well for us. So it's kind of an in-between. It wasn't quite an onside kick. They didn't kick it deep. I mean, I don't know what they were going for there, but I certainly will take it. First and 10 on our 35 heading out. 34.
3:19 to play. Silver Streaks need some first downs to secure this victory, leading 21-14. Handoff up the middle.
Nice.
A little bit of room. Gain of about three on first down.
Looked like an ISO play there. The lead up the middle. See if the video comes through, if it was a power or not. But good 4 or 5 yards in that run. Clock's running. No timeout called by the Maple Leafs.
Yep, give him 4. Under 3 minutes to go still, so some time. Geneseo doesn't have to go to the timeouts just yet. And got a nice big play clock here at the field. So we can watch this. The Silver Streaks can watch it, and they can let the clock run as long as Geneseo is going to let them run the play clock down, which is down to 12. So it'll be under 2.5 minutes to go, or thereabouts, when the Streaks snap this one away. Ayton comes under center. Tosses it into the backfield to Alex to the right side, thrown out of bounds at the 40. So he picks up 2, and that stops the clock with 2:27 to go, and it'll be third down for the Silver Streaks. Third and about 4.
4, yep.
Yeah, we'd like to see a little bit of spatial, you know, awareness there and what we're trying to do. Try to keep the ball. We're trying to keep this clock running, try to keep the ball on the inside. Wanted to make a play, though, and when you run toss to the short side, it's always a possibility to run out of bounds.
On the lead block by Kyron, I'd like to see him get his eyes inside and block the threat that's coming inside out.
Yeah.
That way we can cut it up sooner and keep the ball in bounds.
Streaks 5-for-10 on third downs tonight. Biggest one of the game right here with 2:27 to go.
Keep it.
Grant Ayton rolling right. He'll throw it. It's complete to the far side to Dre. He stays inside in Geneseo territory down to the 44-yard line. And a huge first down for the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, and more importantly, he stayed in bounds. He was, you know, aware of what was happening. Of course, the clock's going to stop now with the first down, but he stayed in bounds. When the ball is set, the clock will run. Exactly what we need to have happen.
I love the play call, too, because it's very easy just to hand the ball off there. Make him call a timeout. And Coach Washbaugh staying aggressive. Now, it's a high percentage throw that we have run 5 to 10 times tonight.
Quite a few times.
We're going to sprint out to the right. We got one going downfield. We got one staying in the flat. And he hits Dre, and Dre does the rest.
5 receptions for Egyptiaco tonight, 78 yards. Of course, the big one, the 36-yard pass play from his brother on the halfback pass. And a timeout with the Streaks first down at the Geneseo 45-yard line. And I didn't see who called this one.
That was Geneseo.
Okay. So 2:03 to go in the game, and the Streaks leading by a touchdown. And you want to start talking some history, fellas?
Love to.
When would you say the last time Galesburg beat Geneseo in football? Throw a year out.
I'm going to say before my birth.
You are correct. Maybe we can nail it down a little bit more.
Well, not being a Galesburg native, Sean, I think you're probably better to answer this than I am.
I played in some of those, and they weren't pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Let's go with.
It was before the 90s.
Yeah. I'm going to say in the 70s, right? Sometime in the 70s?
78.
72.
No.
No.
Sooner?
19. 32.
Oh, boy.
Is the last time Galesburg beat Geneseo in football. And we're 2 minutes,
ball.
3 seconds away, except Ayton just fumbled the snap.
He was down.
But the official, the referee in the backfield, is saying it was down. Geneseo celebrating as if they've recovered the ball, but the referee was pointing to the ground, saying the ball was down.
Wind the clock.
The clock is stopped at a minute 58. The ball is going to be sitting at the 49-yard line, so a loss of four. And now the clock is rolling, and now it's stopped again with a minute 57.
I don't know why.
They took 1 second off the clock, and now the referee is okay.
Still should have ran.
Yeah. Well, again, the referee, I mean, we've said all night, the referee takes forever to indicate what the play call is. So Geneseo could have called a timeout much sooner, and he just now indicated that it was a timeout.
Well, the official on the sideline, Geneseo sideline, came in waving his hands to stop the clock, so maybe the timeout was being called as they were trying to decide whether or not he was down. I don't know, but then why wind 1 second off and then grant timeout?
Right. So it goes as a loss of four, and it's second and 14. Geneseo has one timeout remaining with the ball sitting in Maple Leaf territory at the 49. 1:57 to play. So one more timeout that Geneseo can use. So what the Streaks need, really, to secure this game is
first down. Yep. And we're in our tight personnel here, big personnel, double tight end, wishbone backfield.
Still waiting for the officials to get everybody set. The players are out there. We're ready to go. And now the official signals start the play clock. Streaks out of the wishbone. Second and 14. Oh. And a whistle.
He blew the whistle to stop the band.
Stop the band.
That's a penalty. That has to be a penalty on the offense.
In fact, I thought I saw Cannon Klein that the officials kind of pointing and saying, at least the hand motion would seem to indicate that he thought that was a penalty too.
Listen, it's the first pep band back for a football game in 19
Rusty.
Months, too.
That's true.
So they're excited.
So, minute 58, somehow a second got added to the clock there.
That's interesting.
Seen some weird things going
on
here tonight.
Second and 14. All right, we're ready to go. Again, out of the wishbone again. Grant with a handoff up the middle, and the play stopped immediately.
Cannon Klein, maybe? Yep.
So he tried the quick, sneaky little handoff, but Geneseo was ready for it. A loss of a yard, and the Maple Leafs have used their last timeout.
Last timeout.
With a minute 53 to go, and it'll be third and 15, Silver Streaks at midfield.
Well, what we've shown here is we come out with our receiver package. With our receiver package here, and we've been able to execute this. I don't think we've been at a third and 15, third and 16 when we execute our third downs.
Yeah.
But if we're able to execute here, it's ball game.
Right. The problem with the sprint out to the right is you're on the short side of the field right now. They may sprint him out left, give him that option. I'd like to see Grant at least have the option to pull the ball down and run. Either way they do it here, they're probably going to get him on the move the pocket.
Stay in bounds.
And I'd love to see him, you know, unless he knows he's got a high percent shot, I'd like to see him just pull it down and run it. You can run 40 seconds off the clock after that, and, you know, you're talking about under a minute getting the ball back if we don't get a first down. So we have to keep the clock moving no matter what happens here. An incomplete pass is a really bad deal.
Look how they're covering our trips here.
Right. Rock Island with a 28-17 lead on Moline heading into the fourth quarter. Here the Streaks lead 21-14, minute 53, third and long.
There's a
Grant
left.
Rolling left.
Nice
He's going
play.
To keep it, and penetration in the backfield. He's tackled back at the 47-yard line of the Silver Streaks, a loss of two more. Geneseo out of timeouts with the clock rolling under a minute 40 to go, and it'll be under a minute left by the time they get this ball back, as long as the Streaks wind the play clock down as far as they can.
We will wind it down here and probably call timeout.
Well, it'll be at 1:01 if the math is right, and I think that's the right thing to do. And you know, he is sacked, but that's definitely not the worst-case scenario.
Again, Geneseo with no timeouts remaining. So when the Streaks do punt, barring a mishap on the punt for any reason, then they would, I guess, worst-case scenario, Geneseo would have the ball at the 20, unless a run back of some sort. So the timeout made by the Silver Streaks with 1:03 to go.
Referee just threw a flag.
Yes, I see that. What's that for? It's in the Galesburg.
We called timeout. He's calling delay game.
And now there's a discussion. The referee is putting his hands up.
Goodness.
So I didn't know.
All right, so there he's waving it off. Goodness. All right, 1:03 to go. We've seen good coverage downfield by the Silver Streaks on their punts. Got to believe Geneseo is going to bring it to do everything they can to block.
We have to be ready to defend here.
We haven't seen the Streaks have to defend that much yet tonight.
Max protect.
Yep, Leafs haven't really put any pressure on the Streaks punt team. So Davina standing back at his 34-yard line. 1:03 to go. One man deep to return for Geneseo. Showing blitz. High snap. Hunter gets it away. Good pressure by Geneseo, but Hunter got it away. The reception made at the 20.
Come on, Drake.
Running to the far side, trying to strip the ball out of the hands of Pierce. And he runs it out at about the 32-yard line. So 53 seconds on the clock. As the Streaks try to protect this one-touchdown lead, Geneseo out of timeouts. So playing to the script so far for the Silver Streaks to protect this lead.
53 seconds left.
Maple Leafs with the ball at their own 32. Now keep in mind, last possession, a 64-yard pass play, a 13-yard pass play, and they were downfield in almost no time. And that's what they need to repeat here with less than 1 minute to play. Beneke in the backfield, rolling right. Now stops, slips and falls, and he's down. Back inside the 30.
Run that clock.
About down to the 24. And again, no timeouts remaining.
Yeah, it's certainly getting a little bit slippery out here, guys, too, with the weather as cool as it is. And that could have been a factor on that one.
Loss of 8.
I'd like to see Grant deepen up here.
Under 30 seconds to go. Beneke rolling right under pressure, gets it away. Pass complete and stepping out of bounds. Just short of the first down mark of the pass completion to Mason Jones. And he gains 17 of it back. It'll be 3rd and 1.
Want to make sure that
27 seconds to go.
Continue to get pressure on the quarterback.
Absolutely.
Here. But we got to see our DBs. I don't see really any difference. They're covering like they've been covering all game.
At the 41-yard line, 3rd and 1, Beneke rolling left across the middle, caught on the far side, trying to get out of bounds, crosses the 50, and out of bounds on the far side of the field. P.J. Moser, the leading receiver for Geneseo tonight, and they say he's out at the 50, so a gain of 9 with 21 seconds to go.
That was the fastest sprint out pass play. That only took 6 seconds off the clock.
It's impressive.
Yes, it is.
And we're the snap to Beneke. Rolling right. Throws sideline, overthrows Moser, but another receiver there. It looks like it's incomplete. Yep, incomplete. Intended for Mason Jones at the Galesburg 40-yard line, right at the marker with 15 seconds to go. 21-14 Silver Streaks trying to hang on to this lead and get their first win over Geneseo in 89 years. And the Streaks call a timeout.
Yeah, Coach Wash was moving some defensive backs into the game. We saw it looks like Dre Gypsyako in the ball game. So he's trying to get a little athleticism back there, and he wants time to set him up. It's a good time to call timeout. Clock was already stopped.
They had an injury. Riley had to come out. Riley Hickey had to come out. Ah. So the injury in the sideline there. So they're trying to get the personnel figured out. They were calling for cover 4. And so I think it's a good use of a timeout. Make sure you have the people, the personnel you need in. Mm-hmm. Get ready for the probably a cover 4, you know, keep doing what you're doing, but make sure your personnel is set up.
So, again, Geneseo takes over at the 32. They lose 8 on the first play when Beneke dropped back and slipped. A 17-yard pass play to Mason Jones, an 8-yard pass play to P.J. Moser, then an incompletion. 2nd and 10 at the 50 with 15 seconds to go. No timeouts for Geneseo, and the Silver Streaks leading 21-14. Looking for their first win over the Maple Leafs since 1932. 2nd and 10. Geneseo comes set. Looking left. Now Beneke steps up in the pocket. Slips one tackle. Stops. Throws down the middle. Overthrown. Intended receiver downfield was open. Cade Ariano. But Beneke overthrew him. Streaks had a shot at an interception. It falls incomplete. 3rd down with 8 seconds to go.
That play took a long time to develop and ran a lot of time off the clock.
Yeah, exactly what we need.
This very well could be the very last play of the ball game. Now, they certainly can run something quick if it's incomplete or they get it out of bounds, but this just may be it.
So we've got our 4-shell back.
Yep, we got Dre back here.
Final 8 seconds. Beneke back to pass. The pressure is on. Under pressure in the backfield. Hunter DeVito with the tackle, and that's the ball game. The Streaks win it. The Streaks win it 21-14 on a sack of the quarterback, Nathan Beneke, by Hunter DeVita.
Well, the pressure came from Aaron Carl there to set that up because he was in his hands first, spun out, and then what are they blowing the whistle for here? Okay, we're not going to shake hands.
Correct.
Right.
Okay, so the game's over. All right.
People off. Game's over.
Yep. Outstanding victory, Silver Streaks. Great way to start the, I guess, the 2021 season. We can't call it the 21 season because we'll have another one in the fall.
Well, nevertheless, the first win over the Maple Leafs, that's what we do know we can say for sure since 1932.
Silver Streaks football.
Aren't the walkie-talkies a bit much? Hello?
You didn't say over.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. We want you to know that Bates Collision Center is still here and ready to help if you need us.
And for now, we're offering no contact estimates as well as free vehicle pickup and delivery.
We're doing everything we can to keep you protected and our team at Bates safely working to provide a factory perfect repair guaranteed.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Yam Auto Group on North Henderson and Galesburg, home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yam. By First United Methodist Church in downtown Galesburg. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. By Bates Collision Center in Galesburg, we take the decision out of collision. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg, you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. Silver Streaks football is also brought to you by RP Lumber. Best service, best value. By Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg, celebrating life's legacy. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg, you better call Dave's. And by Kehoe Eye Care, they care for people, not just eyes. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Thanks for listening to GHS Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg Sports.
Right now, our country feels divided, but there's a place where people are coming together.
I gotta tell you, I was nervous to talk to someone so different than me.
Me too, but I'm glad we are.
Love Has No Labels and One Small Step are helping people with different political views, beliefs, and life experiences come together through conversation, and it feels good.
Wow, your story is so...
Interesting?
Yeah.
When people actually sit down, talk, and listen to one another, they can break down boundaries and connect as human beings. At lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep, you can listen to amazing, life-changing conversations and find simple tools to start a conversation of your own.
I know one thing. This conversation gives me hope.
It gives me a lot of hope, too.
Take a step toward bringing our country and your community together by having the courage to start a conversation at lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep. A message from StoryCorps, Love Has No Labels, and the Ad Council.
Homeownership is one big to-do list, unless you farm out the remodeling to the pros. Courtright Construction of Oneida. These guys know how to give a room a facelift, and if you're desperate for more space, consider a room addition. Courtright Construction, the right choice for your next project.
I'm Pastor Vince Rohn of First United Methodist Church in Galesburg, where we believe in making room for everybody. We do that in person at 120 North Kellogg Street, where we have two different Sunday morning services, classes for all ages, children and youth ministry, every week in safe ways. We also do that at firstumcgalesburg.org with worship services and other online opportunities to connect with God and others. Whoever you are, join us on Sunday mornings at 9 or at 10:30 or anytime at firstumcgalesburg.org.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Tom Irons at Accounting Systems on South Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg and by Templeton Roofing. Call Templeton Roofing when your roof matters. Learn more at templetonroofing.com.
Homeownership is one big to-do list, unless you farm out the remodeling to the pros. Courtright Construction of Oneida. These guys know how to give a room a facelift, and if you're desperate for more space, consider a room addition. Courtright Construction, the right choice for your next project.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. By Locks Roofing and Siding Incorporated. Tackle all your home projects with one call to Locks Roofing and Siding. And by Go Van Gogh's, the T-shirt factory at 237 East Tompkins Street in downtown Galesburg.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by Justin Cook State Farm, providing great insurance rates on bundled auto, home, and life policies. Call today for the right policy and save money. Clear tonight, a low of 27. Sunny tomorrow, a high of 57. Clear tomorrow night, a low of 36. Sunny and mild Sunday, a high of 62. Cloudy, low 44 Sunday night. Monday, cloudy and a high of 61. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it's 37 degrees at WGIL.
Final stats, the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, and comments from Streaks head coach Mike Washabaugh. WGIL's coverage of Galesburg High School football continues with the Silver Streaks postgame show. Brought to you by Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg. Celebrating life's legacy. Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
Well, we ran into some technical issues. We're not entirely sure what happened, but we're back, and boy, are we glad to be back. The Silver Streaks with a win over Geneseo, 21-14. The game ends with a Hunter Davina sack of quarterback Nathan Benicke to secure the Silver Streaks' first victory over Geneseo since 1932. Unbelievable. Jake Miller is with head coach Mike Washabaugh.
Coach Washabaugh, I was just Mr. Benowitz there was introducing you into the show here, and he said that this was the Streaks' first victory in Geneseo since the Great Depression, 1932. You want to talk about what your guys have put into this and how they deserve credit for this good victory?
Yeah, definitely. And Brad and I talked in the pregame. You know, I can't thank the senior leadership enough. You know, guys have been grinding. 17 months ago was our last game up at Sterling. And there's, you know, 17, 18 seniors in this group that have stuck with it for that entire time. And the leadership showed up. There's many points in the game, you know, that we lost three games last year, you know, during those kind of swinging moments of the game, you know, and guys found a way. You know, bad stuff happened, and just trying to educate those guys, you know, they're 15, 16, 17 years old, like, flush it out, play the next snap. That's kind of been the message this week. And I'm just very pleased with the senior leadership and then guys being able to deal with negativity, flush it out, and play the next snap.
Yeah, there was definitely some of that tonight, you know, with some – obviously officiating was an issue. Can you talk a little bit about what the explanation was on that snap fumble that got turned around? And were our guys simulating a snap? I saw we got an unsportsmanlike penalty, and we didn't have anything for our viewers on that.
Yeah, I mean, we tell guys every time the ball's on the dirt to sell that we have it. Make those guys – you know, now I'm a middle-aged adult, but make those middle-aged adults make those decisions that it's not a turnover. The explanation was that we could not simulate snap count, so then my argument was Coach Doherty and I stole it from Allman, who's been doing it for the last 35 years. And now it's like everybody does it in our league. But that's what it was on. It wasn't a sideline warning. It wasn't for us, you know, taking the ball down there because it was a very faint whistle. I mean, the ball was on the dirt. But that's what it was, you know, so flush it out and play the next man.
So that third quarter was kind of a slog. I mean, both teams with some big penalties and just kind of going back and forth, no scores. The fourth quarter, though, we definitely got some action and got some things rolling. Offensively, I noticed you first down snap was in the bone. Then your second down snap, we got receivers out there. And then it would get a first down. And you ran that pattern, seemed like three or four times in a row. Was that something going in that you kind of had planned for them? Or is that something that just developed and you saw what was working?
Yeah, I mean, our weight room strength up front is where it needs to be. So I have all the faith in the world in the guys we have up there. You know, and it's kind of what we got going there in the second quarter. We started off just a little bit slow, but we really started eating once we got the ball past 40 on those two drives in the second quarter. You know, it was just it was tough with the holding penalties. You know, we're backed up on the yards and the sticks a little bit, but we finally felt like we got going. You know, I feel like we got a couple shot plays still in our pocket, but just the way the game was going, you know, I didn't want to take a chance. I want to keep playing really, really good defense, you know, and let our big guys eat up front and, you know, just keep kind of wearing down the clock to, you know, what turned out being the end of the game.
The defense was definitely the star of the show tonight. You know, in the first half, I thought that I think there was one first down that wasn't by penalty, that on third down, excuse me, they on third down that they couldn't get a first down except by penalty on us. Talk about that shot play here before I let you go. The shot play from Alex DeDre there on a second and 10, I believe it was. I commented, a gutsy call at a gutsy time, and it worked out beautifully.
Well, hats off to Coach Turner. He's the one who dialed that one up. You know, that wasn't me at all. I liked the down and distance and where we were on the field and going for it on fourth. You know, we were just going in the play bank of shot plays. You know, they didn't know we were going to come out and run outside veer. Obviously, with our running quarterback, we want to put the ball in Grant's hands as much as possible, and that's a way to get that. So we were just trying to get as much play action. We didn't run any play action off of it, but run as much play action, as much shot play stuff as we could out of that package so that safeties weren't fitting that.
Yeah, I also made that comment that if you guys keep running veer, I might want to come back and see if I can take a volunteer out on your staff because that's I love watching that play work. Coach, congratulations on win number one, and good luck to you next week.
Yep, thank you.
All right,
well,
Brett.
Was it worth the wait? Silver Streaks with a great victory here tonight at Geneseo, 21-14. Our postgame coaches interview with Mike Washabaugh, brought to you by RP Lumber, best service, best value. We'll take a break. We'll come back and take a look at our postgame statistics. We also have to give you our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game as well. The Streaks are 1-0. You're listening to postgame coverage of Silver Streaks football on All right, we'll keep it here. All right, so
here.
Yeah. All right. So let's take a look at our first. Our post-game statistics. These are brought to you by Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. Let's start off with the Geneseo set. Haven't had a chance to add up the total numbers here, but maybe we can kind of do this on the fly. Mason Jones, 7 carries, 34 yards here tonight. Bruce Moore, 11 carries, 29 yards, so that's 63. The quarterback, Nathan Beneke, 8 carries for minus 15. So 63 minus 15, that's 48. And Dominic DeBuff had a couple of carries for 6 yards. So just 54 yards on the ground. That's what the Galesburg defense does here tonight. Beneke finished with 156 yards of passing through the air. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So 11 of 15 with an interception for 156 yards. Of course, the two back-to-back passing plays, 64 yards and 13 yards, was the real big numbers for him that got Geneseo its second score that made it 21-14 at the time. For the Silver Streaks, Alex Egyptiaco, the leading rusher for the Silver Streaks tonight, 12 carries, 66 yards. Grant Ayton, 12 carries for 34 yards, so there's 100 yards on the ground. Kyron Leith, 5 carries, most of those early in the game, 28 yards. Cannon Klein, 6 carries for 15 yards, so 144 yards of total offense, including a run by Damian Thomas. Klein had a touchdown. Grant Ayton had 2, all rushing touchdowns tonight for the Silver Streaks. Ayton finished the night, 6 out of 10 passing for 55 yards, and Alex Egyptiaco had that 36-yard pass play to brother Dre that Jake just asked Coach Washabaugh about Dre with 5 receptions tonight for 78 yards. Alex had a 6-yard reception, and Aaron Carl had a 7-yard reception. Penalties tonight for the Silver Streaks, 73 yards total on 6 flags. Geneseo flagged 5 times for 35 yards. Now we'll take a break here. Again, our post-game statistics brought to you by Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. We'll take a break. We've got our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game still to talk about here tonight as the Streaks win it at Geneseo 21-14 on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Tricia and Mark Thomas discuss why it truly is the greatest kindness to pre-plan for your family.
On top of the difficulty of just navigating the early days of grief, loved ones have to try to determine what the person they've just lost would have wanted.
It can be overwhelming, to say the least.
At Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory, we offer pre-planning services that will ease the burden on your family members in the wake of your passing.
Just because you pre-plan doesn't mean you have to prepay.
Pre-plan today at Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg.
RP Lumber stocks the latest innovations in Milwaukee power and hand tools. With commitment to the trades, Milwaukee hand and power tools are strong and reliable, no matter how big your job may be. Shop in-store or online at rplumber.com. Experience the RP difference.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by the UPS store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg, and by Bradley Hicks, Century 21 affiliated. Morning, noon, nights, or weekends, Bradley Hicks will help you find your dream home.
Check out what will be up for bid during the WGIL radio auction tomorrow morning. The list of auction items and the time they'll be up for bid is available now at WGIL.com.
21-14, Silver Streaks win at Geneseo to go to 1-0 on the season. Just a historic victory for the Silver Streaks here tonight. Again, if you didn't hear us say it, we don't mind saying it again. First win over the Maple Leafs in football since 1932. And, of course, there's a lot of years in between where they didn't even play. But, in fact, from 1932 to 1992, so there was a 60-year gap, so it's not like, you know, they've been playing for 100 years or anything like that. But nevertheless, resumed the rivalry 2 seasons ago with a non-conference game. Last season, the first time the Maple Leafs played in the Western Big Six. So this is, as far as we can tell, something that's going to happen for the long foreseeable future since they're a member of the Western Big Six. And what a way to get into the win column here tonight. So as we were talking off air, we've got some candidates for our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, and let's kind of start talking through it. Xavier Coleman turned this game around early with that big interception in the first half when Geneseo had moved the ball down to the Galesburg 10-yard line. It was a scoreless game at that point. He returns it to the 30, and the Silver Streaks end up scoring on that possession and the next one to take a 14-0 lead. So that was big. So there's a candidate. Sean,
well,
you're...
You know, I would just say that, can we give it to Coach Washabaugh? You know, how big was that decision to take points off the board? You never want to take points off the board.
Yeah, right.
But to take points off the board on the roughing a kicker on a field goal.
John Wren had kicked the field goal.
He had gone through. We got 3 points up on the board. Got the penalty. Coach talks about it. The result of the penalty is going to be a first down. And this is a time where we were talking about.
Move the ball from the 11 to the 6 at the time.
Keep the clock running, you know, and made the decision to take the points off the board, go down, and then we end up scoring a touchdown. You know, of course, I know we can't give it to the coach for this decision, but what a big decision that was there, because what it did was it ran an additional close to a minute and a half, minute 15, something like that, off the clock. Got more points on the board for us as a result of that. But a good job there. But, you know, I think to me, the key play is going to be the pass from Egypciaco to Egypciaco, you know, the halfback pass there. In a drive where we needed it and got us in a position for that field goal that got called back and then resulted in a touchdown.
So who do you want to give it to?
Whoops. Well,
they're always turning me down around here. So who do you want to give it? Do you give it to the throw? Do you give it to the catch?
Well, I
agree. I mean, you can give it to both for the play.
You can also say Hunter Davina for securing the victory at the end. Now, granted, if they score, it's just a tie.
Hunter Davina in this ball game was somebody they had to game plan around the entire ball game, and they had to run away from him, and they had to do things because of where Hunter Davina was. He was a constant player of the game, but I think in the, you know, definitely in the spirit of what we want to do with this, the double pass or the halfback pass or the interception, I personally like the halfback pass, just when it was called, the slog that the third quarter was. I mean, it was just tough to watch on both sides, and that really broke it open, and that really started the action, and I think it changed completely the whole feel of the ball game after that.
It was the key play in the 6 minute, 10 second scoring drive in the fourth quarter that put the that allowed the Silver Streaks eventually, at when it was all said and done, to go up by 2 possessions and 21-7.
We talked about that at the start of the quarter. So this is the time. This is a little gut check time. That can we move the ball and run some time off the clock and get things done? And we did. And you talked about it, over six minute drive, 80 yard play. 80 yard drive. And put points on the board. So, you know, I think that within that, the spirit of that drive, with the time of the fourth quarter that we put that together, the big part of that drive was the halfback pass. So, as much as I am as a defensive guy, you know, and I like to see the interception from Xavier, and I like to see, and time again, we saw our defense step up and really get things done, particularly last play of the game. You know, the quarterback had to stop his rollout because Aaron Carl was there. And that allowed for Hunter Davina to come make that sack. So, but I think that if we're talking about the crunch time player or play of the game, it's a halfback pass.
Should we give it to both of them?
Yep, they both get it.
Yep. All right. So the twins, Alex and Drea Gypsyak, are Dave's Auto Body co-crunch time players of the game. Final thoughts from Geneseo and the Streaks' 21-14 victory when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
I'm Pastor Vince Rohn of First United Methodist Church in Galesburg, where we believe in making room for everybody. We do that in person at 120 North Kellogg Street, where we have two different Sunday morning services, classes for all ages, children and youth ministry every week in safe ways. We also do that at firstumcgalesburg.org with worship services and other online opportunities to connect with God and others. Whoever you are, join us on Sunday mornings at 9 or at 10:30 or anytime at firstumcgalesburg.org.
Home ownership is one big to-do list, unless you farm out the remodeling to the pros. Courtright Construction of Oneida. These guys know how to give a room a facelift, and if you're desperate for more space, consider a room addition. Courtright Construction, the right choice for your next project.
When you have your crash repaired at Dave's Auto Body, you may qualify for Detail for Life. We will detail your car for free, 4 times per year, for as long as you own your car. So if you would like us to help take the sting out of an accident,
you better call Dave.
During the radio auction, bid on item number 808, an above-ground swimming pool package from Munson's Pool and Spas.
The bidding begins tomorrow morning at 7 on WGIL.
Silver Streaks win it here tonight at Geneseo, 21-14. As, again, first win over Geneseo since 1932. We remember what a Galesburg victory over Moline did a few years ago when we lost 19 straight games, 20 straight games, something like that. I mean, that was a draconian losing streak if there ever was one in high school football, to lose to somebody for 20 years in a row. And that was a big momentum boost for the program at that time. Any thoughts on what you think winning here tonight, the way that it was done, might do for a Silver Streaks six-game season?
Well, it sets the table for the rest of the remaining 5 weeks. You know, here we are in a position where we go on the road for the first game into the Geneseo Maple Leafs, who have a very historic football program, and you come in and you get a road win. So, you know, you're really looking at the type of momentum that you would need to start the season, although it'll be at 6 games, but really you just build from this. And now at this point, Jake, you've been around this, and Brad, you've been calling the games. Once the season starts, it goes quickly. You know, you fall into that routine of your Monday is going to be kind of an install, work out some of the kinks type of things. Tuesday and Wednesdays are the days that you're putting in the work in preparation, going through everything with your scout team. Thursdays run through, Friday you play, and you fall into that pattern, and the next 5 weeks will go quickly. And it depends on how much the kids want to put into preparing each week and what they put into it. Hopefully we'll get out positive results.
Yeah, he said it all. I mean, it's exactly right. It's a good win for these guys. When you win your first one, things just tend to go better. When you lose your first one, that doubt creeps in, and you know, it's sometimes sometimes causes confidence issues, and sometimes causes, you know, locker room issues. But you win number one, and things just seem to be better.
Yep.
And I think that that is as important as anything could have happened here. We got a good matchup, a team that we know we can play with. We got it done tonight, and we move on to next week.
This is the best football game I can ever remember on the last game of winter that I've ever been involved in.
Is.
I can't think of a better one than this one here.
Best one in March I've ever been a part of. I agree.
There's your madness right there. Yep.
And the Streaks will be back at it at home next week. Hope you can be with us again when Quincy comes to town. Thanks for being part of our broadcast here tonight. And let's hope this is a big jump start to a really fun remaining five games of this pandemic-shortened season. For Will Stevenson of the Downtown Studios, for Sean Hickey, for Jake Miller, I'm Brad Benowitz. We'll say it again, 21-14, the Streaks win it at Geneseo. Good night on WGIL.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Yam Auto Group on North Henderson and Galesburg, home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yam. By First United Methodist Church in downtown Galesburg. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. By Bates Collision Center in Galesburg, we take the decision out of collision. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg, you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. Silver Streaks football is also brought to you by RP Lumber. Best service, best value. By Watson Thomas Funeral Home and Crematory in Galesburg, celebrating life's legacy. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg, you better call Dave's. And by Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Thanks for listening to GHS Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.